Well, a year and a half in the making, and it's finally here. It's election day, everybody. Your chance to get out and vote. All the candidates are great. Pick one of them.
I am really proud of wearing the sticker today.
I voted, it says. And you did.
I did.
And so you got a sticker. It just shows that that feeling that we get when we're little kids of if you color within the lines and you get a sticker, it never goes away. It's a nice little bonus, isn't it?
Can I tell you how lame I am?
What?
When he goes, do you want a sticker? I said, of course I want a sticker.
Who doesn't want a sticker?
I said, can I get an extra one for my son? And he goes, I'll give you a couple. And I said, good. So I have them in my purse and I will give them, I'll put them on my kids' foreheads.
It's been a very good day. I have to ask Steve a question. He just reported something in the news about, well, kind of about the election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play the stock market for two reasons. Number one, no money. I don't have any money and they want me to have money. I only get 20 bucks a day. I can't really do any damage in the stock market. And number two, I don't understand the ups and downs of it. For instance, yesterday, everything stock related went crazy and they believed it's because Hillary Clinton has been cleared of her charges from the FBI.
Right. That sounds crazy to me.
But then you say, well, if that's how it reacted yesterday, it will probably react the exact same way today. Why wouldn't it? And yet, not at all.
Well, it went up big yesterday, over 300 points.
Right.
And that's what they're saying. The only there were no economic figures out or anything like that. But it looked as if some of the uncertainty was taken out of the market or out of the news. So the stock soared. John Najarian, who's on with me on Tuesdays, he'll be with me later on the business lunch, has said all along that Hillary Clinton is the candidate preferred by Wall Street.
More predictable.
More predictable.
Yeah,
you know what you're going to get a little bit more, certainly, than you do with Donald Trump.
But if you enjoy your volatility in the marketplace, and some people do, then Donald Trump would be your guy.
Yeah, but
right?
I don't think the people who enjoy the volatility are the few who, you know, feed off the rest of us. So I don't think that would have a big impact.
I got nothing
there
on
are
this.
There are guys who kind of bet on the market moving, if it moves
But they're betting against the majority of
right,
the trade.
Sure.
So the majority of the trade would favor Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, all right.
All right, well, Ray wants to talk.
Which is odd. It's upside down because usually you think of business being, you know, more of a Republican,
correct,
favoring Republican than they would a Democrat. But in
right,
this case,
on,
that's
Ray,
kind of flipped.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Did you vote already, Ray?
No, I'm on there. I'm about 5 minutes away. Yeah, but hey, guys, we can make $1 million.
How do you imagine do that?
Imagine if, like TSA, you know, you can get online, they'll tell you what the waiting time is.
Yeah.
Now imagine if there was an app where they'll tell you your precinct, okay, there's 5 minutes wait now, 2 hours wait now. You know, when's the ideal time to get there?
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
And here's another one. You can vote. You can donate as much money as you want to whatever politician, and it's legal and it's tax deductible. But if you do that, you have to donate an equal amount to whatever charity that's approved.
Oh, is that a good idea? That's an even better
idea.
Why
aren't you running for president? Because we can call you Ray.
We can call you Jay.
Father Naducci. I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars is being wasted
right
on this thing. I'm sick of it just as much as you guys. But, you know, just like I think it's Britain, they only allow 90 days to
A lot of countries.
Yeah. Come on, guys. You know, we got a great thing going. Let's make it better.
Yeah. So,
I wish you were there now because I want to see how long the wait was. I went this morning.
You want me to call you back?
Sure, you can do that.
Rick, we're just being told that Ted Cruz has a news conference set for next Wednesday when he's going to announce his candidacy.
For the next election? Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay, guys, I'll call you back.
All right, thanks, Ray.
Know.
I had to wait about 30 minutes this morning, and
that's
it could have
bad.
Gone quicker, but I wanted to do the video game version of voting where you use the touch screen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really want to do the paper. So if I did the paper, I could have gone right in, but I wanted to wait for the touch screen. So about half an hour from start to finish.
So there were two lines at your polling place, one for touch screen, one for paper?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they only had two touchscreen ones. And boy, I was looking at it as I was waiting there. And it's really kind of a makeshift thing. It's just like a portable thing in a suitcase. I know that's really what it is,
that
but
is
it
what
just
it is.
Looks so chintzy. They need to up their game a little bit.
Well, the other one's a piece of paper that you draw on.
I know, but it, you know, I pretend it's a video game. I want it in color. I want it better.
This is not a good, this is not a 3D voting experience for me here.
No, it sure isn't. And I'm telling you right now, I double checked everything because it's like, you know, I hit the check mark, you know, touch screen.
Right.
And then the little piece of paper comes
up. Can I drop in here? Here's a little bit of Donald Trump. He's just voted.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I think we're going to hear some from him here.
Thanks for monitoring this, Steve.
Well, I didn't do a very good job because
it
looks as if
we want to be there.
On our feet, he's just walking away.
I voted for her.
What we're seeing is this. Donald Trump has already left the polling place, but they allowed not live coverage in Trump's polling place, but rather a tape delay. So
this is in New York, Steve?
Delay. Yeah, in Manhattan, I believe.
Yeah.
Boy, he got there quickly.
Oh, look, Hillary Clinton, I think, returned to New York at 3 o'clock this morning, and I'm sure it was probably about the same for Trump. The schedule that these two have been on in the past,
past
6 months, but for the past 48 hours has just been remarkable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that just was Nat sound of Donald Trump picking up
leaving.
That was great, Bertrand.
Right.
Tease you. Thank you for following this, and please continue to do so all day, because this is a very exciting day for me and all of us.
It is. Do they make Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton wait in line when they get to the polling places, or do they just rush them right through?
I'm going to say that they probably move them.
They rush them in.
They're not going to wait in
that's
line.
Not fair.
Only for security reasons. That's
not
only
fair.
Well, not really.
Why do we have to wait 2 hours? It was 2 hours when I went. It was more than 2 hours when I went in yesterday.
Because there's an unprecedented amount of people voting early. And, you know, I can see it if you're going to be out of town or if you did it, you know, a week or so ago. But the day before, you may as well just wait till today and
right.
go.
Right. Right.
That's like voting late early. Voting early late.
And I voted early because there has been thoughts that there's going to be some hack on the voting system here in the United States. So I wanted to get my vote in early.
You saw the state-of-the-art system they're using. You can't hack into that.
You're so funny, Wendy. So you vote early because you're worried about a hack.
I'm not worried about it.
And then you choose the electronic rather than the paper ballot.
I saw that it was accepted, so all's good.
Yeah.
And then there was a guy in front of me who did the paper thing, and then you bring it to the little voting judge, and you hand it to him, and he sticks the piece of paper in the machine, and it beeped. It was beeping.
Oh.
And he goes, oh, yeah, let me see here. It says that you voted for too many. And he hands it back to the guy, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, after you just went through with a little punch. Oh, this isn't a punch thing. This is the filling in the circles.
So what happened
then?
He
looked through it and said, okay, oh, yeah, I double voted here for one of the judges or whatever. And then he must have erased it or did something, and they put it through, and it worked.
You know, I'm just watching still the tape delay of the Trump's voting, and just imagine, it looks pretty serious, frankly. But
as opposed to normal.
Well, just imagine.
He always looks serious.
But imagine, you know, standing in one of those little cardboard booths and circling your name for president of the United States.
That's a thrill.
I mean, Hillary Clinton did it earlier today. He's doing it now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't.
It's surrealistic, I bet.
It really, I can't imagine it is.
Ted has the best question ever. There are reports that Hillary voted earlier, and as Steve Bertrand reported, Donald Trump just voted now. Ted, your question?
Did they get a sticker?
Oh, yeah, they get a sticker. They
actually
definitely get a sticker.
Trump asked for one and said he was told he was refused. He said the sticker giver outers gave two to a suburban Chicago housewife.
Never mind. Numbers
Wow, that you had Zanies this weekend or next?
You know what? You said you weren't going to tease me, and yet that's all you've done.
Yeah, I heard Wendy got an extra one, and I'm starting to get nervous about people double voting. Am I going to get a sticker when I'm done?
There will be some left. Don't worry.
It's sticker shock, is what it is. That's what it is.
Exactly.
Rock the vote, Ted.
Thanks, Ted. All right, a quick break, and then more election coverage. Stay here. It's WGN.
We were talking about long lines at the polling places,
and I say too, you were asking me about Donald Trump voting.
Yes.
And this is what it sounded like, Wendy. So are those boos? I mean, maybe
they're
so.
Saying Lou, because Lou Ferrigno
is a big supporter of Trump's.
A huge supporter of Trump's, and he accompanied him there.
He's in Manhattan, and you know it's a very busy public street, and he may well not carry his own precinct because you know, he doesn't live where Trump voters live. So I wouldn't make too much out of the fact that he was jeered.
It doesn't happen very often,
but in this election, anything can happen, I guess.
I would have thought he would have gotten all the support in the world over there in New York.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Wouldn't you want to be a fly on his shoulder all day today? And Hillary's, too, for that matter. They're all on no sleep, as Steve reported.
Right.
And Trump is needy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is going to... I just want to be a fly on his shoulder.
And this is, if I can use an analogy that I think everyone in Chicago will understand and appreciate, this is their game seven. There's
yeah.
no tomorrow. They have to win today. So even though the buildup on this has been a year and a half, I'm not exaggerating, it's been a year and a half... Today is their game seven where...
Well, tomorrow the recount could be game seven, too.
Could be. Could be.
It's just exhausting. I mean, I'm tired watching them. And,
right.
You know, this is what I'm thinking coming in. I'm like, okay, are they going to go home and, you know, sleep for 8 hours? Because they're going to have a huge... Either way, both will have huge nights tonight.
Yeah. Could you sleep all that's at stake,
no.
though? If you try
sleeping? I can't
sleep.
I was up at 5 this morning.
I can't imagine sleeping today. I can sleep anytime, but it would be very difficult, I think.
I have a little bit of audio I'd like to play for you. This is from Fox and Friends this morning. Say what you will about Donald Trump. He realizes, and you can criticize him all day long. Sometimes we do. He realizes that this was time well spent, that this campaign, no matter what goes down, he has spent his time wisely. I'm sure he's going to share that with you, and that he's learned some things about himself and the country. I'm sure, and you'll hear this, that Donald Trump appreciates every minute of what's gone into this campaign, and it goes something like this.
If I don't win, I will consider it a tremendous waste of time, energy, and money. I'm going to be,
sure.
I will have spent over $100 million of my own campaign.
Which is not true, I found out. It's $66 million that he's spent so far in his own campaign.
So,
I've been fact-checking everything now. I fact-check everything you and Steve Bertrand say now.
I just love the fact that after all this is said and done, like a lot of guys would say, well, you know what? We fought the fight and we learned some things and congrats and everything like that. I mean, it's no time for a concession speech, but he just said point blank, this will be a huge waste of my time and effort and money.
Like Bernie Sanders said, you know, we furthered the issues. We
right.
presented our case.
Right. No, this is a waste of time, Steve. Waste of energy, a waste of money.
Who did Trump's wife vote for, do you think? Because she's a citizen now, correct?
Yeah, she's a
yes.
citizen. She kept looking over her shoulder to make sure he wasn't watching. I don't know.
Isn't that funny? Some people are saying that I just voted far northwest side of Chicago. No lines. No one in front of me. Walked right in. Voted. I was number 140 in my precinct.
Oh, wow.
And it really,
I should go there.
It's so weird because everybody with the early voting, as Bill said, he was trying to vote yesterday and the line was 2 hours
over two
long.
Hours.
I mean, really, in and out. This morning, I went at 8:30, which is kind of an off time, I guess. Most people are at work.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
But 30 minutes, and it's only because I waited for the touch screen.
Yeah.
So get out and vote today. Today is the day, as Bill pointed out. It is their
game seven. That's what it is.
What is going to happen? I can't stand it.
Well,
I can't stand it anymore.
You can stand it for one more day.
I can't really. I am a bundle of nerves.
Don't worry.
Stories
always end happy.
If Donald Trump wins, then I'm going to have to accept it, and he's our president. If Hillary wins, I'm worried about the Trump supporters accepting that.
Wendy, good stories always end happy. You saw Thelma and Louise.
Wait a minute.
Nothing to worry about.
Jumping out of my skin. Do we have any updates? What are the polls
now? So far, 0% of the precincts are reporting. Actually, I have to say this. Last night, there's a couple places on the East Coast that do midnight voting. It doesn't get a whole lot of people in, but they did.
Dixville
and,
Notch is
right,
the town.
And those numbers have you're thinking of a pay-per-view movie you rented once.
No, I'm thinking of the groundhog.
Oh, no. That's Punxsutawney.
At Dixville Notch.
Is that in Dixville Notch? I thought that was here in Illinois.
Sorry. Maybe not.
It is.
I'm getting my pornographic city names
that
mixed
happens.
Up.
It's a big day.
So they, at midnight voting.
Yeah, they voted at midnight, and those numbers have already come out.
Right.
But it's like a dozen people.
Hillary is leading the national race now by 4 votes.
We knew it'd be close, Steve, but nobody predicted this.
I don't know. I think she did win in Dixville Notch. I don't know what the numbers were.
Isn't it though? It's like a dozen people, right? I have the numbers here. I'll find them.
Yeah, because it's everyone in town. They vote, and then just imagine if you were
here. It is
someone who wanted to sleep. You know,
that's midnight madness
because they close the polling places after 2 hours.
All right. Now, this is in New Hampshire, right, Steve?
Correct.
All right. I have those numbers. Let's do the news, and then we'll report on what happened. You know what they say? As Dixville Notch goes, so goes a very small percentage of the nation. So we'll find out exactly what went on there. Stick around. News is next, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, and it's Election Day. The day we've been dreaming about for a year and a half has finally arrived.
I'm freaking out. Somebody says Wendy needs Grandpa Ross to talk her down.
That might not be a bad move.
Basket of emotions.
He's very soothing, and in a time like this, Wendy, you may need David Ross to come to your help.
Can I tell you, 847 says I voted at about 8:45 a.m. in Park Ridge. There was a line of 10 people, a line of 5 people when I left. In 11 years, I have never, ever seen a line at that polling location. Someone else said in and out, left home at 10:12, voted back home at 10:28. 5 to 8 minutes travel time, parking the only problem, that in Barrington.
All right, so if people like myself opted to try to vote early to save time, there were well over 300 people in the line yesterday at City Hall in Evanston, an over 2 hour wait, but everybody's goal was to vote early and get in and out, but it's just the opposite.
Because everybody was voting early, and now there's no one left to vote at the regular voting place.
I need one of those Disney fast passes. Can I get one of those to vote?
Oh, can I just tell you, somebody said, I just voted. I didn't get a sticker. They're handing out paper bracelets. We should get to vote on what prize we get.
For bracelets.
That stinks.
That's a Marie Osmond song.
20 minutes, Edison Park. One person in line in front of me.
That's not
Ravenswood,
bad.
No wait at all. Go vote, people. Rock the vote, as we say.
I've heard people say that.
Where were they voting at midnight last night, Bill?
On the East Coast. Steve, why is this a tradition? I don't know why every 4 years we hear about this, but there's certain little towns dotting the East Coast.
Wait, hold your thought.
Yeah?
Ray, you called this earlier. You just voted. How long did it take you?
Five minutes.
Look at that.
They're giving free coffee at 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah, wear your I voted sticker and you get a free cup of coffee at 7-Eleven.
Yeah. But here's the interesting thing. I usually vote about the same time, between 10 and 11 in the past elections. I was at, like, usually, I would say maybe 100, 120. Right now, I was number 435, so almost 4 times the amount of people coming out at this time within 4 hours. I think that's a lot.
And where are you voting? What town?
I'm in Darien, the good old firehouse down here in Lehman and 75th Street.
All right. Well, rock the vote. You did it, Ray. Good luck. Back to you, Bill. Already in progress.
Already in regress. all right. So in Dixville Notch, the town that we have been talking about, they're one of the
places. It's in the New Hampshire area?
Yeah, it's in New Hampshire. They get to vote at midnight if they want to. It's a small town. It says, in Dixville Notch, Hillary Clinton has beaten Donald Trump 4-2.
That is a joke.
It's very close. Libertarian Gary Johnson also received a vote, and Mitt Romney received a vote.
Oh, my God.
That's not going to work.
No.
In the slightly larger burg of Hart's Location, is that the name of the town, Hart's Location? It is. Hart's Location.
They're weird out east.
They're very, they get right to the point. Hart's Location, Clinton had 17 votes, Trump only 14. In that election, in Hart's Location, Gary Johnson received 3 votes.
Ooh, that's going to push him over the top.
I know those numbers are low, but if you go percentage-wise, that's actually a much higher percentage than I think he'll get nationally, I think. Also getting write-in votes there at Hart's Location, New Hampshire. Bernie Sanders got one. John Kasich also got one. In the town of Millsfield, Trump won, and he won big. He got 16 votes to Hillary Clinton's 4 votes, and Bernie Sanders also received a vote there.
He's not on the ballot, people, but all right.
So in those 3 towns, those 3 New Hampshire towns that had midnight voting, because obviously there's a lot of hubbub on Election Day, so they want to get that done quick, Donald Trump was your winner there in those 3 very, very small towns in New Hampshire, receiving 32 votes to Hillary Clinton's 25 votes. So this election, as far as we're concerned, is over.
It's going to be really close. It's going to be closer than we think.
You think so?
I do. My son goes to LT High School, and they did a mock election. Hillary Clinton was the winner, 46% of the votes. Donald Trump, 37.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Johnson had 9%.
You did pretty well there. Nothing for Jill Stein?
Yeah, she had 3%.
What about the
other
teenage,
had 5%.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that probably got a couple votes.
That was covered in the other.
Right. Right.
For the U.S. Senate, the winner was Mark Kirk with a 44% of the votes.
Oh.
Tammy Duckworth, 40. And
that's curious.
U.S. House of Representatives, the winner was Daniel Lipinski. He was unopposed on the ballot, and he's in our district. So,
has anyone who's ever run unopposed not won?
That would be a really sad day.
Wouldn't that be you would know that you're the worst politician of all time if people just go, I'd rather not have anybody.
Vote for one, and there's one name. Nope,
right.
Not going to do it.
Right, yeah.
Well, there is the situation of the judge who sat on the, or she was not the judge, she was a clerk who sat on the bench and was charged for doing that in Markham.
Right.
As she was running unopposed, and then they were putting a write-in candidate against her. And I'm not sure, it was being fought over in the court, so I'm not sure exactly where they are, but that could be a case of
Judge
one.
Judy has now won. That's who they wrote in.
Was it Chris Rock that used to do a thing about Marion Barry running for re-election? I think it was Chris Rock.
I think you're right.
Marion Barry was the mayor of Washington and had a slight problem with the cocaine, just a slight cocaine problem. So then he was removed from office at some point, but then he ran again and he won. So I think I'm almost sure it's Chris Rock said, think about the guy that couldn't beat Marion Barry for that job. How bad was he? He'd have to be.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, no, how good was Marion?
Right, I guess. I guess that's it.
That is it's a scary world sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's Grandpa Ross?
He'll help you. He will. He's here for you. All right, let's do this. A quick break, and then it is Tech Tuesday, so we'll find out from Bridget Carey what's going on in the tech world. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Just a few moments ago, a colleague of ours, I like to say, to make us sound more important than we are, David Plyer was in studio, and he did not get the sticker that you received for voting. He got some sort of a bracelet.
That's what some listener had texted us.
That's the same bracelet, yeah.
It's kind of like the VIP bracelet when you go to a concert, or the over 21 when you're at a fest in the summer so you can drink.
Right.
It was kind of cool.
Looked nice. Very patriotic looking. Are you jealous now? Yeah.
You always want what you can't have. I've always wanted curly hair. Always had straight hair.
Yeah.
So I want David. I have bracelet envy.
Trade with him. I'm sure he'll trade.
He can't get it off.
Oh.
His wrists are probably smaller than mine anyway.
They might
He's
be.
He's a little guy.
Yeah.
He is. All right. It's a Tech Tuesday. Bridget Carey on the line from CNET. And it is Election Day. We don't have to tell you that, Bridget. And people can find out some of the results online, Twitter. How do we find these things out?
Oh, I think what's interesting in this year is that there's so many ways to just stay hooked into the news without even needing a television because of all of the networks really are streaming on their websites, so you can always tune in live there. Newspapers have dropped their paywalls, so if you want to cover, follow it that way.
Just for the day.
They have?
Just for the day, right?
Some for the day and also tomorrow and the next day.
Oh, all right.
And some even local papers are doing that too. And then there's people who want to be really obsessive. If you're that kind of person, there's this new startup company called Votecaster. They are churning out projection numbers as they come in throughout the day and working with some new sites like Slate and Vice. So you can see the real-time numbers as they come in. The problem is, normally you don't get that kind of stuff in the news because you get the true idea at the end of the day. And maybe, people might be discouraged if they see that there's a lead, but really it's not a realistic lead because you can't really, be sure what the true results are. But if you're someone who likes, the nitty-gritty details of the nail biting, like as it goes up and down like a roller coaster, you can do that now because that's the internet and that's you can get those raw numbers. But then there's other things that I'm kind of more interested in, like if I want to be a little more chill and just kind of tune out of the stress. You can go to Firefox's Facebook page. They have a live stream of a red panda exhibit all day long.
Oh, wow. I'm in.
From the San Francisco Zoo.
Good timing on that.
Yeah. So it's all different things for every spectrum of interest in the election.
Now, are they showing red pandas and blue pandas? Because you don't want to side with one team. You know that.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a little biased. I think it's just red pandas.
It is.
All right, I hate to put you on the spot, and I should have asked you this before, and if you don't know, that's fine. But what is this 538 webpage? Nate Silver's 538. It's statistical analysis to
right.
say what's going on, and he has Hillary Clinton winning... chance of winning 71.4% over Donald Trump's 28.6%. This is the first time I've seen this 538. What do you know about that?
Oh, it's
that's the electoral votes.
That's popular with political junkies for sure, because Nate Silver really crunches numbers in a different way, and so when he's doing predictions, people get really excited because it's a little different than just the cold data.
I check it several times a day, Wendy.
Absolutely. They have electoral votes, Hillary Clinton 302.2 to Donald Trump's 235.0. And then the popular vote, Hillary Clinton 48.5%, Donald Trump 44.9%.
There's a lot of ways to, like, you can have a couple tabs open this election and just, like, look at his numbers, look at live stream, you know, and if you need comedic relief, I'm sure you've heard about this. You know, Stephen Colbert has that live stream tonight on Showtime where he's going to be uncensored, you know, and you can always get the free Showtime app by just, you know, canceling later and get the free month trial. But that's what I'll be doing tonight, too, when I can't take it.
Completely uncensored.
Well, it is Showtime, and so it sounds like you may be doing some cursing, I'm sure.
Isn't it great that we have to use the term popular vote with two candidates that are so unpopular? I love that the phrase is still popular
right.
vote. It should be something else, tolerable vote or something. all right, this is important. There's a new version of Siri coming to Samsung, and I love it because I love the name that they've given it.
Bixby.
Like the greatest actor of all time, Bill Bixby.
Yes, and you don't want to make him angry.
No.
Why'd they choose Bixby? I mean, I loved Bill Bixby, don't get me wrong, but...
Well, okay, we don't know for sure. Samsung put out a trademark request for a digital assistant named Bixby, so you can put it together, but they could always change it later. But here's the deal. Samsung is saying to Reuters and Wall Street Journal that they're going to have a digital assistant just like Siri, just like Cortana, just like Alexa, but it's going to be on Samsung phones, and it's going to be smarter than Siri. Well, Samsung recently acquired the company that made Siri. The people who made Siri started a new company to make a better digital assistant with your voice commands, and we're expecting it to be probably tied in that way, and Samsung has a few hints, although they're not giving away a lot, just that it'll work with other outside apps. And you can imagine Samsung has so many products like televisions and refrigerators that they're probably going to make it so you can talk to your dishwasher, who knows. But, you know, they'll integrate it with more than just a phone if they want it to take off, because right now who needs another voice to talk to? Especially if you have Android already. You're already using the Google one. So they have to do something to make it compelling.
What about things that explode? Doesn't Samsung have to worry about things like that?
Oh, yeah. They're having a bit of a problem there, too. You heard they officially recalled their washing machines for exploding. So, yeah, if you have a Samsung washing machine.
And their phones.
Yeah, and their phones, of course. They apologized in print. Because, you know, that's the new thing to do now. They took out some full-page ads in a couple major papers, like the Times and the Journal, apologizing for the whole Note 7 battery fiasco. But they still are investigating what the cause is. So, you know, that new phone with the Bixby on it, don't expect that to come out anytime soon, because they're already saying that they're delayed in that. Normally, these things get announced in February. It's looking like it might not be announced till April. They need more time to figure out what went wrong on the Note 7 before they can start selling another phone.
The courtship of Eddie's cell phone. That should be the new phone that they put out.
Are the sales down with Samsung because of all these exploding things? And why don't they sponsor like a pyrotechnics show?
Yes.
Or a 4th of July explosion?
That's
or something
excellent.
Like that?
Right.
They need you on their marketing team. You know how to turn it around.
That's what you do. But now, have they taken a hit business-wise?
Oh, yeah. I mean, their stock definitely took a big hit because of how much, you know, all the recalls and all the products that, you know, they're really eating the cost of all this. I mean, they just stopped production of the Note 7 and recalling them all and offering, you know, people to get a refund with a new phone. There's also... just the fact that, you know, who now wants a Samsung phone? The damage is long lasting here.
Here's the idea. You get Jimmy Walker to be your spokesperson, and he goes, Samsung phones, they're dynamite! And then they just explode in the commercial. Would that work, Bridget, or work against them?
I think it works. It has a bit of a Geico vibe to
it.
All
right,
you know?
Let's go with it.
People like this.
Let's go with it. Now, is this here? This might be preliminary, but is somebody trying to buy Vine, or am I imagining that? Vine, you told us last week, is gone or going away, and both Wendy and I wept openly. We don't want Vine to go away, but now somebody may buy it. Do you know about this?
Well, that's what they're talking about. The way it could survive is if someone buys it. There's whispers that people might be talking to Twitter on how they could buy it. This is that six-second looping video that's so quirky. Yeah.
That nobody uses much anymore because of Snapchat, correct?
Well, I think all of our attention is torn, and yeah, we are more on Snapchat, but there was a vibrant community that just liked being popular on Vine. You know, people find their little home, and they got their network, and they have their fans, and they want to be able to still use it. But if someone did eat it up, it definitely is a way to save it. I think that's what maybe Twitter did. They kind of announced that it was dying and that they wouldn't delete it, but they, at a certain time in the future, they'll just stop letting the app work. That tells me that they're going, you know what, maybe we'll give it some time in case someone does want to buy it.
It's just too long. Who's got 6 seconds? If it was 4 seconds, I could see, but who's got 6 seconds?
just wait. Yeah. Yeah, there's always something new, and that's going to be the new thing. Yeah.
All right.
Did you already vote, Bridget?
I did.
I got my sticker. Bill's going to do it later on. We'll see what happens. I will be following everything in the world to see what happens throughout the day.
I'm still following those red pandas.
Bridget, thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
That's Bridget Carey with CNET. It's right there on your computer, CNET.com. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve has the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and inviting someone back to the show who, Bill, you didn't get a chance to meet last time.
I did not.
Diana Rauner is here, president of the Ounce of Prevention Fund, First Lady of Illinois. Last time you came up, you were with Mike Leonard.
Yes, we were doing our Share Your Words event. Which
mine
was
feisty.
Fun.
I shared my word as feisty because that's what I am.
Yeah. That's a good word. Feisty's a good one.
Now, you are here. We're going to talk about this. You will be speaking at the Kennedy Forum. In a nutshell, tell us about the Kennedy Forum.
So the Kennedy Forum is a tremendous organization that is devoted to raising awareness about mental health and bringing really mental health issues to the forefront, and just in a way that allows everyone to understand that these are common and approachable and solvable challenges for everyone. I'm fortunate to have an opportunity to be on a panel that's going to talk about early childhood mental health. And most people don't think about mental health issues as being something that happens in early childhood. But we all know that early childhood is a time of tremendous growth and development. And I often say that developing is basically a process of dysregulation and re-regulation. So everything's hard, learning to walk, learning to talk, sharing toys.
It's not fun to share, be honest. Well, it really isn't, you have to.
It takes practice. and so it's normal for children to have to develop skills when they're very, very young. And of course, everybody develops skills by learning from teachers, from parents, from caregivers. And some children have it harder than others, either because of their temperament or, very importantly, children who are in traumatic environments, surrounded by community violence, parents with depression or mental health issues, stress and trauma in the family. And we know, again, unfortunately, that mental health challenges are prevalent across our populations. Everybody has challenges at various points. But on the other hand, we also know that stress and family trauma and community violence can, particularly for young children, can really lead to challenges in development that then, of course, have consequences for how they develop and the opportunities that they have in school.
When we were growing up, you know, it's funny, years later I find out that my grandmother battled anxiety and depression, but no one knew about it and everybody swept that under the rug. And I have a little bit of anxiety. We have ADHD in our family. And, you know, this all comes from your roots.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, temperament is a big part of this. Genetics, temperament, and, you know, circumstances as well. And I think one of the most important things is acknowledging that for all of us, we have to have a growth mindset. You know, we want to get better at everything that helps us cope and survive in the world. And mental health skills, social emotional skills are really things that with acknowledgement and time and preparation, we really can help children to be better at them and get the treatment that they need.
What's your ultimate goal with this? If everything went the way you hope it goes, what are you hoping to accomplish here?
Well, what I'm particularly hoping is that we can level the playing field for the most at-risk kids. So, you know, one of the things that people don't know very much about is that preschool children are expelled from school at a rate far higher than kindergarten through 12th grade kids.
Expelled?
Expelled.
For what?
Well, kicking, biting, scratching. I mean, little kids are aggressive by nature, right? And kids who are exposed to violence or exposed to trauma are have a harder time managing their emotions. And a lot of teachers don't know how to handle that. And so children get expelled from childcare. Now, just imagine what happens if you're a 3-year-old boy and you get expelled from childcare.
Where do you go?
Well, that's the thing. It's not a pretty picture. And then we're talking about those same children going into elementary school and not having had preschool experiences that help them be successful in elementary school. More likely to be expelled or to be held back and be less successful. And of course, this disproportionately affects boys, no surprise, and disproportionately affects children of color. So what we find, again, is that our most vulnerable children are less likely to get the kinds of supports that they need. And so that's really the biggest focus.
And can your average child rebound from that? Once you're 3 or 4 and you get expelled, you're always kind of branded as the problem child, right?
Well, you're expelled probably because you're doing things, behaviors that are not socially productive.
Yeah.
And if nobody coaches you on how to do it better, you're just going to keep doing what you've been doing. And the unfortunate problem is the bigger you get, the scarier you get, and the harder it is for you to
unlearn those things. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's okay to talk about mental health, and that, you know, there's always something brewing in somebody else's house that you're unaware of. But I'm telling you, that perfect family is not perfect.
Absolutely. There's no such thing.
There really isn't.
Absolutely.
And which is it Patrick Kennedy who's so much involved in this?
This is Patrick Kennedy's cause. And as you know, he's, I think, struggled with mental health issues his whole life. And I think really giving a voice to these issues and expressing them as these are chronic health situation similar to chronic health, physical health challenges.
You said a little while ago, Diana, that it's much more prevalent in boys than girls. It is, but why is it?
Well, you know, I think some of that has to do, it's a good question. I think some of that has to do with the way we, the social expectations we have of boys and girls.
Yeah.
There are differences in, you know, behavior styles between boys and girls that are, you know, we always say they're more, within group differences than between group differences. So we don't want to categorize boys as this way and that way. But it is true that some boys are more rambunctious. They're more aggressive. And those are all good things as long as somebody's working with them to help them work within the expectations of school.
Right.
And that includes teachers. I think it was Time Magazine that did a big article on how boys are treated differently in school. And I just know in my kid's school, one of my sons will say, you know, there's a bunch of girls talking in class and the teacher kind of laughs with them and says, okay, let's wrap this up and get back to work. When the boys are talking, it's a completely different command to them.
That's interesting. And it's true. Most of our teachers are women.
That's what it is. I never thought about that in elementary school. Bill, think back to when you went to school. Majority of them.
Only a couple.
We had all women when I was in like K through five.
First through eighth.
And in early childhood education, it's almost all women.
Yep.
There are almost no men. And so again, that's a challenge as well for boys trying to, you know, just find role models for how they should behave.
Sure. Sure.
It's a crazy world in which we live, and we're trying to make sense of all of it. So the Kennedy Forum is happening Tuesday, December 6th. I know it's a little far out in advance, but you can get tickets. They are still available. This is free, isn't it?
Yes, this is free. You just have to register.
You're not going to make a lot of money on this, Diane. I hope you know that.
No, that's all right. This is a labor of love.
All right.
And this is thekennedyforum.org, thekennedyforum.org. That's where you go for tickets. Ounce of Prevention, that's an organization that helps to prepare children for success in school and life. How long have you been with Ounce of Prevention?
I've been affiliated with the Ounce for about 16 years now.
Look at that.
First as a board member and then as a staff member and president for the last 5 years.
Are you seeing some differences in 16 years?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest differences is people realize how important early education and early experiences are for brain growth and for healthy development. So we've seen great awareness and better attention to these issues. And certainly in the area of infant mental health and early childhood mental health, one of the best things that's happened in the last few years is the development of what are called early childhood mental health consultants. These are coaches that help go into classrooms and help teachers deal with those spirited, problematic, challenging children so that those children don't get expelled. It's a very, very effective way to prevent expulsions. So these kinds of new ways of working, I think, these are big changes that we're pretty excited about.
Don't you think there are still people listening right now going, oh, yeah, you need these coaches for infants. Suck it up. Behave. You know, smack the kid and tell them to behave. There's still a lot of people that think that way. And when you talk about these mental health coaches and stuff for young people, they're like, we don't need that, but we do.
Absolutely. And you know, parents need coaching too, because Absolutely. A lot of parents, you know, for better or for worse, weren't necessarily raised with the most progressive parenting styles. And we've learned a lot about, for example, what corporal punishment does for children. It's not good. And helping parents understand there are other ways to manage their frustrations and to control their children's behavior. We all parent the way we were parented, unless we've had a lot of therapy or a lot of coaching. And so giving people an opportunity to learn about how to be a better parent, which everyone wants to do. Everyone wants to be a good parent and make, you know, do the right thing for their children. But a lot of people don't know how to. And I think everyone needs help at any point. And it's one of the reasons that we're so invested in home visiting for young children and their families, because we know that's such a great opportunity to coach moms and dads on what they want to do, which is be a great parent, and to see and read their child and learn how to communicate with a child, an infant.
So if somebody's listening right now and thinking, you know what, I'm not the best parent. I'm trying to be, but I'm not. Where do they go to get help?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, places like the Kennedy Forum have some really good information about parenting and parenting skills. There are websites that you can read about parenting. I think, you know, we just need to acknowledge that everyone needs help, and that everyone, I had a home visitor. My sister came over. I didn't know what I was doing when I brought the baby home, and I was terrified. You know, everybody has that challenge. And so it's important, I think, to just give parents a break and accept that this is an effort that everybody needs some support in.
And your sister will come over if people need her. That's a way to get that done.
Actually, she's really good.
Is she good? All right.
You
we'll
know,
give
it's
her
funny
number out soon.
Mention that when I had Michael 17, when I had him, I told my husband, my mother-in-law offered to come, and I said, no, this is just, we're going to bring the baby home. We're going to bond. It's just going to be us. And then later that night, I heard my husband on the phone, Mom, when are you coming over?
Right.
It's
exactly.
Just, boy, you don't know what to do. And they do a lot of consumer ed classes in high school. Why don't they do a parenting class?
I don't know. And really, you know, when you start to understand, and we find this all the time, when you start to understand how important it is for a baby to hear his parents' voices, not just mom's voice, but dad's voice, one of the most exciting things that you can see is a dad, right after delivery, standing on the other side of the room, calling out to his baby and having the baby turn his head to his father's voice. Mm. I mean, you can see grown men cry. Mm. And getting the idea and the understanding of how important it is to bond with your baby at those early years, and just eye contact, physical contact, soothing, a lot of it is instinct. But it's also, again, coaching and problem solving, especially as they get a little older, they get a little sassier. They keep getting sassier and sassier. And, you know, then they go to college.
the next day.
Exactly.
Right.
But you think back, and I mean, Bill, you're sassy to this day.
Sure.
I mean, you were respectful to your parents.
Always.
But I was really sassy.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
I always had to sit in the quiet chair in kindergarten with the boys. You know, mainly it was like all the boys and Wendy. but, you know, different kids are different. We are talking to Diana Rauner, president of the Ounce of Prevention Fund, First Lady of Illinois. She's going to be speaking at the Kennedy Forum. Tickets are free, still available. Go to thekennedyforum.org. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And we are continuing to talk with Diana Rauner, president of the Ounce of Prevention Fund, which prepares children for success in school and in life. She's the First Lady of Illinois, and she will be speaking at the Kennedy Forum, which is taking place December 6th at the Hilton Chicago. Now, these are free tickets, but you need to register, and you can go to thekennedyforum.org. cubs.org. Diana, we were talking off the air about the Cubs. I had some friends on Facebook who took a picture with you and your husband and said, oh, look who's here at the Cubs game. You got to go to a few Cubs games.
It was such a treat. It was so much fun. And unfortunately, they didn't win all of them, but we did get to see them win a couple of times, and that was great.
Excellent.
And then the parade, you were on a bus.
Yes, and I've never seen, has anyone ever seen so many people in one place?
No.
So many happy people.
Yeah.
That was the amazing thing. So many happy people.
And even when it was over, everybody just kind of went about their business. I'm sure people at Union Station weren't happy when they had to wait about five trains to get on one to get home. But really, it was kind of like everybody was walking in a smiling haze that day.
Well, I think I just have huge respect for the Cubs organization and all the players. They're such gracious people. And really, they talk so much about team building, about positive culture, about positive thinking. It's just, it was such a delight to watch those guys play with smiles on their faces.
You got to meet several of the players. And the thing that strikes you when you meet these guys is you watch them on TV and they seem like grown men, but then you meet them and they're kids.
they're younger than my kids. Yeah. The average age is what, 24 and a half on that
Something
team?
Something like that, yeah.
And they've got, you know, the older guys mentoring the younger guys. But you can just see some of these guys, I hope they stick around for a long time and become Chicago institutions. Now they're 22, they're babies. But
I know.
They really are babies when you think about it. Bill, we're not getting any younger.
No, I guess not. a real quick question today, obviously, is Election Day. So what goes through the mind of the family members as votes are being cast and then tabulated? It's got to be the most nerve-wracking day of the year, right?
Oh, well, you know, this one we were reflecting. This one's been pretty relaxed for me because, of course, my husband's not in the ballot.
Yeah.
Last time I was convinced he was going to lose, so I was like, this is going to be great. We're going on a holiday tomorrow. That's, you know. I was in for a rude shock.
I was saying earlier, I want to be a fly sitting on Donald Trump's shoulder just because he's got to be freaking out. Hillary, too, but she seems to control herself a little bit better than he does. And I don't know if they've given Donald Trump Twitter back. I would tend to think,
not yet. Not yet.
Yeah. Not till after the election's over because he could ruin it with a crazy tweet. I voted. I got my sticker. I'm proud. And I also have a stomach ache. I don't know what's going to happen later on today.
I don't know. I'm just sort of like floating above it and just thinking about other things. I focus on my work.
It's the way to be.
Focus on the kids.
That's diplomatic.
The stuff I know how to do.
Well, anything you'd like to find out about the Ounce of Prevention Fund, here's the website, theounce.org.
Yes, thank you.
Also, definitely go see Diana speaking at the Kennedy Forum. This is happening December 6th, right before the holidays. I know you might forget. So go and register today. It is free, but you need to register. Go to thekennedyforum.org. Diana Rauner, so nice to see you again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Great to see you. We'll take a quick break. Bob Kessler has the news, and then there's a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Bob Kessler. Another quick reminder, full election coverage here on WGN Radio all night long with Hampton and OB. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
I would love to hear.
Oh, my God. Somebody get Ed Obradovich in tonight just for a segment.
He doesn't do a lot of politics, but when he does do it, he gives you a perspective you're not used to hearing.
Oh, my God.
I want to hear Hampton and OB with full election coverage.
Election, right?
Yeah, election coverage. Yep.
Oh, that would be great. Bill, why aren't you program director?
Well, because I'm me. What kind of a station would this be? We'd just be running cartoon clips all day.
I'd be okay with that.
All right.
All right. We were talking to Diana Rauner about the Cubs game, and there are some cute little cubbies, I will say that. I don't like the word cubby, but they're young. They're young cubbies.
Right,
I can't stand that word.
And they're all over the media.
Yep.
They're on Saturday Night Live, last night.
Disney, Hawks game.
Everywhere. Everywhere. SUV, that show where they solve crimes.
SVU,
SUV, SVU.
I wouldn't mind getting a couple of them in my SUV.
All right. So last night on Jimmy Kimmel, Chris Bryant, your favorite third baseman, and now one of three candidates to win the National League MVP award. I think he's going to win. I can't imagine anyone beating him. He was on with Jimmy Kimmel last night, and he did a great job. He was very, very funny.
And here is he's talking to whom, to what? I don't know what this person is.
Well, there's a guy that was called the crying Cubs fan because they showed him during one of the games with tears in his eyes. He's obviously a Cubs fan. He's wearing Cubs paraphernalia, and he's got tears in his eyes. So social media, the people on the internet were calling him the crying Cubs fan.
Original.
So yeah, I don't know how they came up with that.
Weren't there a lot of fans crying?
Oh, yes.
How did they just single out this dude?
Because they showed him in a key moment in one of the games. And he's just got tears streaming down his face. Like, oh, no, this has happened. I don't want this to happen. Well, I cried, but I cried tears of joy when they won. But you could see where certain fans at certain moments of the series would be sad and cry.
And he was on Jimmy Kimmel, too?
They brought him out. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, nice surprise. So here's how that went.
And just tell him how much that this meant to you as a longtime Cubs fan.
Don't cry.
I'll cry.
Cry.
I would love it if you could both cry.
No, no. That would anything be for TV.
That would be a huge win for me. Yeah.
I just think we found that no one is immune to what is happening.
Don't
right
look
now
at me. Look at Chris.
Chicago Cubs. I can't look at Chris. But this has been an amazing experience. I mean, everybody I know in my life that has been a part of my life and me growing up, this has been a huge deal. And it's just ridiculous. And it happened. I still can't believe it. I'm dreaming right now. I'm sitting next to Chris Bryant on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Well, if you guys want to go on a date, we would be happy to play for it. This is getting married, but this is your last chance here, Chris. I don't think you'll ever find love like this from a woman. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay, but actually he did because Chris Bryant is getting married, and people have already started sending him gifts.
You're getting married soon also. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. When are you getting married?
Beginning of January,
okay.
I think.
Will you invite those 5 million people to the wedding?
We're going to try to keep it.
Will your teammates be invited to the wedding?
They're invited now if they want to come.
Are they all invited, or is it like class where you have to invite everybody? Is it one of those deals?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
How many do you think will actually come to the wedding? And are you hoping certain members of the team do not show up?
Well, I hope Travis Wood shows up with a shirt on. He wasn't wearing, but yeah, I mean, Anthony Rizzo is actually going to be in the wedding, which is cool.
Look
he's
at
one
that.
Of my really good friends.
Nice. I'm surprised they're not getting married.
It'll be fun.
I heard that. Is it true that somebody found your bridal registry and people have been sending you gifts?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, yeah, I mean, we heard of the Indians guy, one of their rookie pitchers. I guess someone found his too, and my fiance was looking the other night. Like, we just 15 items just got bought, so it's like, so we're registered. I think Crate and Barrel, and I think Bed Bath and Beyond. So.
There you go.
He was fun. He was eloquent. He wasn't nervous. Maybe he was a little bit
at
first, but it quickly dissipated.
Still cute, though.
Yeah, he did a nice job. I saw Javi Baez was at some department store yesterday and just was, there were mobs and mobs
right,
of people.
One's on Jimmy Kimmel and
one's
Javi was at a department store.
Yeah. Well, it was an appearance. I mean, yeah.
I know, but still it's a big difference.
If you had your option to pick which one, I guess you'd go, I'll take the Jimmy Kimmel show over just showing up at a department store. But everything he said got just wild, like no matter what he said, they just went bananas for him. Good for him.
And Ben Zobrist was on Jimmy Fallon.
Right.
So we'll have to listen to that the second half of the show.
Yeah.
Sound like a plan?
They're everywhere, and they're doing a good job. So good for them. Yeah, we'll take a quick break, and then more stuff ahead. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. I know I'm not supposed to interrupt Johnny Cash, but I have to, Wendy. Robin Sorensen joins us right now. Robin is one of the founders of the same place we were just discussing, Firehouse Subs, and it's got a great backstory. Robin, thank you for being here. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Nice to meet you, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, Firehouse Subs, it's not just in the name. It has some history. Why don't you give us the story for people that don't know?
That's right. My brother, Chris, and I started Firehouse Subs in 1994 in Jacksonville, Florida. Today, we have just over 1,000 restaurants, which was a lot more than we thought. Our original idea was we wanted to have one. It took long enough to get that one. But no, my brother Chris and I were firefighters. Our dad was a firefighter in Jacksonville, Florida for 43 years, a couple of our cousins. And so it was kind of the family business. But one thing that Chris and I really loved to do as a kid was cook. And really two influences, our mom, and then second is Chris and I both spent the night a lot of times as kids at the fire station, and that big table and the food there and the camaraderie and the fellowship and all those things that we grew up loving and knowing about is really what inspired us to say, you know, let's try to put that in a sub and open a restaurant. Easier said than done, but we finally got open in 94.
I'm surprised you didn't have like a chili stand or something. Don't firemen always have chili? You could have had a chili sub.
Five alarm.
Oh, yeah. We have chili, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned chili because when we first opened, we actually entered a chili contest in Jacksonville, and we ended up winning. But we really thought chili would be a big part of one of the things that was synonymous with fire department. But it ended up being, at the end of the day, and we've tried so many other things in our restaurants over the years, what people want when they come in is a sub, chip, and a Coca-Cola. You know, at the end of the day, that's what they want. We sell chili. But it's really all about these hot subs. And really the most common question I get is, why are we different? And, you know, there's a lot of great sub restaurants across the country, and there's a lot in Chicago. I love going up there, and I love the independents. And, you know, but we really thought we could do a different twist and take on it, where we spent a couple of years trying to focus on what quality really meant. And so at the end of it, we have big, really big portions, high-quality meat, sliced fresh every day, and then we steam the meat and cheese, and we toast the bread. And you put that together, and it really makes for an incredible, not only generous and great tasting sub, but different from others.
And tell us about your Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation.
So, sure. We opened Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation in 2005. And before that, we were always kind of had a philanthropic nature about us when it came to Firehouse Subs. And mostly it was to MDA, which we loved. But we always thought we could do, you know, something on our own, and that was maybe better tied to our brand and our family heritage. And Katrina had just hit, and a few days after that, it was kind of weighing on us, and we thought, you know, we were seeing the pictures, and we thought, you know, maybe we can go do something. And we took an 18-wheeler full of food. And the unique thing, and we've done this a lot since then, many, many times, much more than the people we fed in Katrina, and it's really because it's for us, and being in the food business and having a lot of restaurants, it's just a phone call to say, hey, you know, to our distributor, pack a truck full of, you know, thousands of bottles of water and food, and let's roll. So we went out to Katrina, and really primarily to feed firefighters and police officers. When we got there, they had plenty to eat. So a policeman took us into an area where we spent the next 4 days. Part of it was in Pearlington, Mississippi, right on the Pearl River that comes out of Lake Pontchartrain, and they had a 22-foot storm surge. We fed people there, and in Waveland and Kiln, Mississippi, and Bay St. Louis, and we were feeding survivors, and it was a really more than we signed up for and bargained for. Proud to do it, but yeah. We left there, and it was a really a life-changing event for us. And on the way home on I-10, and our bus heading back to Jacksonville, Florida, you know, my brother and I thought, we were talking, I was like, that's the most incredible experience I ever had in my life. And we brought this foundation back up. And so at the time, on the way home to Jacksonville, we thought, you know, we would do disaster relief because it made so much sense to us, and we love to serve. And, you know, the more we thought about it, that's not an everyday occurrence. So we went back to our roots and thought, you know, life-saving equipment to police departments and fire departments would be primary, and second would be the disaster relief. And so it started. So we opened it in 2005, and, you know, I will have to admit, you know, I always say jokingly that, you know, when you look at our story, it always looks like we're smarter than we really are. But you know, when we opened Firehouse, we really focused on just one restaurant. And of course, anybody wants to open more of whatever it is they're doing, but that was not what our dreams were. And we really thought, you know, one would be great. And the concept was working so well, it kind of dragged us along for a while, and we started growing. But the foundation was the same, where, you know, we did it was purely out of heart and for the philanthropic reasons to go help somebody. And we realized that we enjoyed it, that we can do it. It was easy to do. And so we started doing it, but we never, ever thought that it would be where it is today. And it's, you know, today we've donated over $23 million to over 2,600 police departments, fire departments, and that turned into be schools and hospitals. You know, schools started calling us, I think, and the Carolinas was one of the first small town, maybe had a dozen schools, said, hey, would you put a defibrillator, an AED, in each one of our schools? And we thought, you know, absolutely, never thought about it. And it's really just been amazing. It really has, and we're so proud of the work the foundation's done. We can't take all the credit. Over 70% of all the funds that we use to buy equipment come from our customers. So when you go in a Firehouse Subs and say, for example, you get the Bill and Wendy special at $4.99, the cranberry or the hook and ladder, number one seller, whatever it may be, they'll ask you to round up, if you wish, to the nearest dollar, or you may buy an empty pickle bucket. An interesting thing, about 8 years ago, a franchisee of ours, we walked in his restaurants, he was selling his empty 5 gallon pickle buckets from our pickles that would go in the trash for $2. And I thought, what a great idea. So this year, we'll buy about 200,000 5 gallon pails of pickles that would traditionally be thrown away. And we sell almost every single one of them for $2. Now, they smell like pickles. You know, sometimes we get complaints about my garage or my car smell like pickles. You know, like, it's a pickle bucket. It's $2.
What's that wild cologne you're wearing, Robin?
I mean, for $5, we'll wash it for you, but for $2, it's a pickle bucket. But, you know, so over 70% of that come from our customers, which is really incredible, because and one of our goals is to try to get every customer to really understand what they're doing. I mean, it's simple. The money comes through our foundation. Every week it gets drafted from the restaurants, goes right in an account, and every 90 days we give money away. We have way more grants than we have money. But so my brother and I are the largest individual private donors by a long shot. Our vendors, our employees, franchisees across the system, everybody participates in it, and it's really great. And we've done a good bit of work in Illinois as well.
About $644,000 worth, in fact. So
that's
we
right.
Thank you for that.
That's right. And one of the coolest, now we've done, like I said, you know, over 2,600 donations, so we do a lot of them. I'm going to tell you, as former fireman, and our dad was with us as well, one of the coolest donations we've ever done was the one we did last May. It was in Chicago, and it was at their fire training academy. I think it's called the Robert J. Quinn Fire Academy. And, you know, I think around the country, when you think of, and maybe this is just me because I was raised in, but I think when you think of firemen, you think of New York, you think of Chicago. Those are the two big kind of departments. And, in fact, a lot of times people think we're from one of those markets because I think they associate firemen with those. But for me as a kid, my heroes are firemen, and to be able to go to that fire academy where they were actually training cadets there, and we did almost $200,000 in donations that day to 9 departments, including Chicago Fire Department. The chief was there. It was a big deal for us, really a big honor to be able to be there. And it's such a big city, and we're from the South, a long way from Chicago, and I didn't know what to expect, and they were just wonderful people, and the donation went really well. We donated to Chicago Fire Department that day, the Chicago Police, the Chicago Memorial, and a list of other departments that got all kind of unique equipment that they need. But anyway, so
you've got to be proud. You, Robin Sorensen on the line with us, co-founder of Firehouse Subs, along with your brother, Chris Sorensen, not only giving delicious subs to us, but giving back with the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. Robin, we wanted to welcome you as new sponsors, here at WGN, and the listeners are going to be happy because every day we have the Bill and Wendy special during our lunch break, and we give away a gift card. So thank you so much for, again, supporting us and our listeners.
Hey, we'll do it. We've got a lot of locations around, so come check us out. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Robin. That's Robin Sorensen, and again, it's Firehouse Subs. They're delicious.
And you can go to firehousesubs.com to find one near you, and this is where it pays off for you, the listener. Every day at this time, Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break, we have a Firehouse Subs gift card to give away right now. If you go in to a Firehouse Subs, you can ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the seasonal turkey and cranberry sub for only $4.99. And what did he say? Add up, give a little extra in their pickle bucket.
Sure.
Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen. What caller do we want?
Today, caller 15 wins the sub package from Firehouse Subs. So be caller 15 at 312-981-7200 and win. Thank you, Radio's Bob Kessler. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Election Day. Go out and vote again. Did you already vote? Don't. Go out. Go vote again.
You haven't voted.
Keep the votes
yet.
Coming. I tried.
Well, you got to try harder.
I've not given up. I did try yesterday. 2.5 hour wait.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. People wait 2.5 hours.
If it is a long wait again today, I will accept it.
No, you won't. You'll bail. I know you.
Hmm.
And then Donald Trump will win.
No, don't say that. I don't think that's
going to
happen.
You know, I have a feeling, people, that it's going to be way closer than everyone is suspecting.
Nah.
There are people in the polls who aren't going to admit that they're voting for Trump, and they are.
There's a picture of Trump looking at Melania's ballot to make sure that she
Her
voted.
Ballot?
Yeah.
You got a sweet ballot, honey.
To make sure that she voted for him. There's a still shot of him just glancing over like, did you? You did? Okay. I'm just making sure. Just
I bet
checking.
She didn't.
Just checking. Later on in this show, Alan Ruck, who I've always wanted to meet, he was Cameron in Ferris Bueller. He was in Spin City for years, and now he's on The Exorcist on Fox.
You are loving this show.
It really is good. It's really, really creepy, and there's been some nice plot twists of late.
And all the filming happening right here in Chicago.
Yeah. He's done, if you look at his career, he's been in 100 things. Some of his most notable work took place right here in Chicago. Some of his best movie roles took place here in Chicago. I know he went to college at the University of Illinois. So he's got some definite ties to the area. But he's a really good actor. And ever since I saw him in Ferris Bueller, he's one of those characters that you see and you go, I know that guy. You know, everybody knew a guy like Cameron, Ferris Bueller's best friend. So he'll be on later at 2:35 to talk about his career and about The Exorcist. It's very eerie.
You know what? I happened upon it. The boys and I were watching. What did we watch this weekend? I found out my boys are into musicals, and Mom could not be more proud.
Sure.
So we watched Little House of Little Shop of Horrors with Rick Moranis, who
Steve
I love.
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Bill Murray. Is he
Bill
in
Murray's in it in yeah. a very twisted scene. Mm-hmm. And when we were getting the TV ready and flipping it to Netflix. Part of The Exorcist jumped up and it was freaky and scary. And I have DVR'd them because usually you can predict what shows I'm going to like.
You would love this. It's really good.
I got to catch
it's
up
really
on it.
It's really very good. Also, if I hope I can share this. Uh-huh. You showed me something a little while ago that I was
that
not, I was not
was
mentally
private.
Prepared to see.
What?
You had a surgery a short time ago and
You're
you showed me... You showed me the state of the art of what's going on there. And boy, there are colors I've never seen in nature before.
It's just very bruised. Oh. I had arthroscopic surgery a week ago. It'll be 2 weeks this Thursday.
Right.
And I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. He will check it out. But I have stitches, so they have to remove the stitches. And it is completely black and blue.
It's purple. It's like it's like Northwestern. You should show that to Dave Ennett. I'm not ready to see that. Dave would recognize that color immediately. Yeah.
Well, he was poking and prodding and stitching and cutting. And so I guess the side of my thigh is really black and blue as well.
Yes.
I think it'd be a good post on Facebook. I'd like
show
to see
it.
That.
No, because I'm not
it.
Able to shave my legs, so no, I can't.
You know, Alan Ruck is on The Exorcist every week, and he sees the most grotesque things imaginable.
Show
don't show him, because I don't think he's ready to see it.
It's just a bruise. Why were you were so like,
you said, you got to see this. And then, you know, usually somebody says that, you go, my eyes are working, let me see. And then my brain went, don't look, stop looking. Ah.
It's like that Geico commercial with the raccoons. Here, taste this.
We all do that, though. Don't look. What do you look? You look.
Right. Or did your? I don't know if your mom ever did this. My parents did this once a week. Oh, this tastes awful. Try this. What is this? Ugh. Right. Oh, this is awful.
Did you try it?
Yeah, because it's just, you go, well,
can't
my
be
parents
that bad.
Telling me I got to try it. That.
And I'm very proud of my I voted sticker. And somebody had texted and said they got a bracelet, which I would technically say it's more of a wristband.
It's it is more of a wristband. Right.
And it says I voted. Did you? And Kathy Smith or Katie Smith dropped it off. And Michael Heidemann, your producer, Steve, ran it in. And I have a bracelet now, too. I'm going to save it.
You know, you're supposed to have one per vote, and you walked out with extra stickers.
Well, now the guy gave me extra stickers.
You asked for them.
I was walking out this morning. He said, would you like a sticker? And I said, of course I'd like a sticker. In fact, can I get an extra one for my son? Only thinking for my younger son. And then he goes, here, take a couple.
Oh.
I didn't.
That's why government is operating in a deficit.
That's why we don't have any money in Illinois. Right.
It's a flipping sticker.
We need a referendum to fix our roads because people give away the stickers.
That's it. It bastardizes the whole process.
Well,
Wendy.
So I'm walking away with three stickers and a wristband.
You're not going to be able to walk out of here. You're all weighed down with
and my knee is
swag.
Bruised.
But you'll get into every nightclub in town.
That's what it looks like. And over 21, I voted.
Are you going to take advantage? Some places have free coffee. Some have free donuts.
I wanted to look
that
up for our
listeners. If you vote for Trump and you go to the fruit stand
to
get a free orange because he's orange.
For your listeners? Is that what you said you're going to look it up for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Steve doubts your methods.
Well, then don't listen, Bertrand. You can't get free stuff on election day. I know that if you go to 7-Eleven and you have an I voted sticker, you get a free coffee.
Okay, that's a start.
You need proof that you voted. Krispy Kreme giving away a free donut.
If Francisco Lindor votes, do I get a free taco at Taco Bell?
No, and how many people actually went to pick up that Doritos Tacos Locos? Because we didn't.
It was only the one day. November 2nd was the only day.
People didn't do it.
But to their credit, Taco Bell, like, they did it on game one. They said, hey, if someone steals a base, and then I thought, oh, this will be the last they mention this because they'll have to give away a million free tacos. They mentioned it in every game. They ran an ad in every game hailing Francisco Lindor as the hero that he was for giving America a taco.
It was very exciting.
But I didn't take them up on it either.
Because you got to, you know, if you have to wait for something, that's why rebates, the company always makes money. Because
right.
Unless it's an instant one,
right.
You got to remember to send your receipt. And it's stuff you have to do.
What if you went in now and told them you were busy on November 2nd, but you're taking them up on their offer. And when they said no, you just cried. You just stood at the counter and
wept.
Have
a listener do it. 312-981-7200. Go ahead and do it while you're on the air with us.
See what happens.
Hey, we got to get to Foot Locker, guys.
What do you get there?
A limited edition I voted pin. A pin, not just a sticker.
That's not bad looking. Very patriotic looking. Red, white, and blue. Striped stars.
My money's on them not giving one away because no one wants to even admit that they voted this election.
I'm seeing people when I went out for lunch and I saw a bunch of people with stickers similar to yours.
Gold's Gym is letting anyone wearing an I voted sticker work out for free at any of their participating facilities.
Make America strong again. I like it.
That's all I got. Krispy Kreme, you get a free donut.
Mm-hmm.
And 7-Eleven participating shops, and you will get a free cup of coffee if you show them the I voted sticker.
All right, something for everybody.
Not that great.
Good.
Gotta be honest with you.
It's free stuff. I mean,
you don't have to do it.
Right. You're doing your civic duty.
Right. Just doing for what people gave their lives for.
Maybe if you go late to the polls, like right around closing time, which is what, 7 o'clock here in the state of Illinois?
Yeah.
Go there, maybe you can take a piece of pizza from the people that are working there.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That would be free.
And Steve, am I getting this right? Because I didn't know how this worked, and I thought somebody explained this earlier today, that if you go there at 7 and there's a long line, they have to honor, once you're through the door at 7 o'clock, once you cross the plane, no matter how long it takes, they have to wait until your vote is in and good and counted, right?
I don't think there's a plane thing. I mean, I think if you're waiting in line out the door, you're still, as long as you're in place in line to vote,
They have to wait for you.
They'll wait for you, yes.
Okay.
That happened last election. It was 2 years ago, whatever we were voting for. And I dropped Michael off somewhere. He had some choir concert that night. And I was just like, oh, maybe I'll stop at this store. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's 10 to 7 and I haven't voted yet. So I got there at 5:02 and I did get in the door and there was a line. But I was trying to hurry because I thought, oh, they're going to kick me out. But once you're in.
You're in. So
good to know.
It's like
out there.
Being a member of Congress.
Rock the vote today, people. Really.
We'll take a quick break and then we've got more show. Do you want to jump in? Why not? 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Want to hear something disturbing?
Sure.
Not as disturbing as your leg. That will never be topped.
It's not bad. It's just bruised.
All right.
Haven't you ever had any kind of surgery?
Yes. But I refused to look at that part of my body until I was fully healed. I didn't look at my kidney for a year. Here goes. This is, I will warn you right now, it's disturbing, but it's election day, so why not? This is according to an article on MSN that was written last night. A majority of Americans, that would be 62% of Americans, say that they are less proud of America as a result of this particular presidential contest I'm surprised it's not higher.
I am too.
I'm way surprised it's not higher. While only 7% say that they are more proud of the country because of this race. Who in their right mind would say that they are more proud of America as a result of this particular presidential election race? Who would look at anything that's happened over the last year and a half and say, now that's America. That's the way we should be operating, just like that. How can that be?
I don't understand.
The numbers are a grim reminder of the nation's mood, despite the history that will be made regardless of the outcome on Tuesday night. Hillary Clinton, as you know, would be the first female president of the United States, leading a global superpower that has denied women the right to vote less than a century ago. That's hard. It's hard to imagine, but yeah.
It is hard to imagine. And you see all these pictures all over social media of these elderly women who are voting for a woman for the first time, and they're completely overcome with tears.
Of course. Of course. It's unbelievable that women couldn't vote 100 years ago. It doesn't make any sense at all. All right. And it says business magnate Donald Trump would be the truest outsider ever elected. That's very true. Serving as the first, I mean, that's not just right. Outside. That's outside and down the block that's and around
like
the corner.
It's like saying you'd be the first man named Trump. Well, we know that.
Right. This according to an article in Duh magazine. Serving as the first president in American history to have no previous political or military experience. So a lot of times when you have somebody coming up the ranks who calls themselves a political outsider, they still have been something. They've been elected something at some point, or they have military experience. He has neither. But the history-making potential of both candidates have been overshadowed by the record-breaking unpopularity of the two nominees. Only 33% of voters view Trump positively. Only 59% view him negatively. I'm sorry, while 59% view him negatively. For Clinton, it's 38% positive and 53% negative. So we have one candidate, Trump, coming in at 33% voting him positively, one out of three people, potential voters. And for Clinton, not much higher, just 38%. That's astounding.
If she can beat him by 5% tonight, she'll be very happy.
That's a good night.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, going back to the women in voting, that's our grandparents' lifetime.
Think about that.
That is what's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is weird to think of that. You know, Donald Trump has filed his first lawsuit.
Who's he suing?
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump filed a lawsuit against the registrar of voters in Clark County, Nevada, claiming he illegally kept polling places open 2 hours beyond closing time during early voting on Saturday. This according to CNN. Trump's lawyers are asking for the early vote ballots to not be commingled or interspersed with other ballots, according to CNN.
Here we go.
I know, which goes opposite of what we said. If you were there and you were in line,
right,
and it turns out early voting lines were longer than election day lines, then the registrar's violations, and I'm quoting, this is what Trump's lawyer said in the lawsuit, and I quote, the registrar's violations were not random and neutral in their effect, but very much appear to be intentionally coordinated with Democratic activists in order to skew the vote unlawfully in favor of Democratic candidates.
The Democrats have done very well in the early voting in Nevada. So it would. There's an argument that that's why they would want to keep them open longer.
Yeah, but if somebody's in line, don't they have to keep them open?
Maybe.
They
I don't
said
know
that
the...
about today. I don't know if that applies to early voting days, but they were saying that as of today, quote unquote, election day, that if you're in place at 7 o'clock, that's when our polls close here in Illinois.
Look, there are always lawsuits on election day, and that's why we have courts, and the courts are sitting, and they will consider it. You know, that's just what happens. But
this is just the beginning.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Nevada could be a big state. But step back. And you know, if I'm Trump's people, they haven't done well in early voting just by registration. You can't tell yet. But so it's in their interest to have Nevada not have as much early voting. So I understand why they do that.
I do understand
it. But step back and look at what you're arguing against. You're arguing against allowing more people to vote.
Right.
And that's when it becomes hard to defend.
Right.
You know, what you're saying is, well, we don't want people to be able to cast legal votes. We want to close it down earlier.
How dare you?
All right. But, Steve, is this an indicator if we're so early in the voting process? I mean, I know there've been an amount of time to vote early. But today, as far as today's concerned, is this an indicator that he or his camp that considers the process to be fixed. Are they going to challenge this sort of thing everywhere?
Maybe.
If they think they have a case, you know, but again, this is the sort of thing that could be resolved fairly quickly. I mean, the judge could order that these votes not be counted, or, you know, they could argue it down the road, depending on what the vote totals are. If they're right and the clerk did violate the law, then they're right to file the suit.
All right.
To allow fewer people to vote.
All right. It's
just an unfortunate.
And that would be decided. That's not a national decision.
No,
that
would be just for these particular polling places that stayed open.
All right. Stand by. We go live to our correspondent, Kelly, who voted early yesterday. And you have some information?
Yeah. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Kelly.
Yes, I voted in Brookfield yesterday, and I got there about 3:30. When I left around 4:30, the line was around the building, but they were announcing, if you're in line by 5, you get to vote today. So no matter how long it took them to get through those voters at 5, they were going to stay open.
And what time was it scheduled to close? At 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock, yes.
So if you're in line and assembled...
Well, each state is running its own election. So
yeah, that's true.
It's up to their rules.
Right, they do.
All right, well...
I was very happy. They did a really great job. They were very efficient, and I didn't see anything inappropriate. They were very, very professional. So I'm very happy with the experience.
So you voted. You rocked the vote, Kelly. Good luck with what might happen, because we don't know.
Isn't it interesting that the election is, of course, obviously a national election, but that every state, and this goes on from the very beginning with the primaries and the caucuses to just the methods by which you can vote, the rules by which you could vote, it varies dramatically from state to state, despite the fact that it's a national election. You would think it'd be far more uniform than it really is.
Each state is choosing their electors to the Electoral College.
Yeah.
There's a Schoolhouse Rock episode on it I was just reviewing earlier today.
Oh.
To help me understand it.
Can I tell you that was the best thing that was ever invented? My 13-year-old son Dylan just said, we were playing Mad Libs over the weekend, and I'm like, oh, where did you learn about an adverb? And he goes, Schoolhouse Rock.
Sure.
And I said, oh, my God, you know how many kids have learned stuff from that? Because it was fun, and they were great cartoons. It wasn't some hokey thing.
Right. I know that, and I'm just a Bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. All right, let's take a quick break. And then more show.
It's not the first time, Wendy.
Steve has the news. And then there's more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Baseball season's underway. All right. In this day of election, 2016, it's nice to have a palate cleanser, and the Cubs certainly have been that for a lot of October.
Oh, have they? Thank you, boys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you watched any of the games, I am a Sox fan, but I did say that Game 7 was the most exciting game of baseball I've ever seen in my entire life.
You're not the only one saying that. A lot of people are.
And on the line with us right now is the Director of New Product Development and E-Commerce Marketplace at Topps. You know the Topps Baseball Card Service. Jeff Heckman on the line with us. Hi, Jeff.
How you guys doing?
We're doing really great. Congrats to the Cubs. Pretty exciting because Topps Now is a new baseball card service to commemorate the 2016 Major League Baseball season. And cards are available the day after a game is played. And why don't you tell us some of the moments of the Cubs World Series that are still available?
Yeah, so the Game 7 ones are no longer available, unfortunately. It's just 24 hours. So once a game ends, the cards are on tops.com for 24 hours. So as you mentioned, Game 7 was really exciting. You know, fans came to tops.com and were able to get a lot of the great moments from the game. The last out, Bryant's throw to Rizzo, the Cubs celebrating, the opening home run by Dexter Fowler. So there was a lot of great moments from that game. But right now we have a World Series set. So there's a World Series Topps Now set that was available right after the game ended. It's available for a week. So until Thursday at 1 a.m. Eastern, so there's still a little time to get it. And it wraps up and commemorates the World Series, and there's a 15-card set. And then there's also a set where you can get an autograph of one of the players from the Cubs. So on the autograph list is Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Addison Russell, some of the biggest and most important stars of the Cubs.
Jeff, does this 15-card set include the EKG machine that was hooked up to everybody's heart here in Chicago that showed their heartbeat stopping?
I wish it did. I wish it did. It's just, you know, really the highlights of the game. But as you mentioned, it was extremely exciting. It was exciting for us at Topps to have such a competitive series. And then with the Cubs winning, the response is unlike anything we've ever seen.
All right. Now, the new way of doing these baseball cards, it's pretty instantaneous, and they're only available for 24 hours. What happens if you miss it? You snooze, you lose?
That's the way it is, yeah. So it's 24 hours, and every day we have a new card. So we started it with opening day in April and ran it through until all the way till the exciting finish of Game 7. So, yeah, once the 24-hour period is done, we're on to the next day and the next game. So if you can't get it on Tops, maybe one of your friends or family got one, and you can see if they have any extras, or you can go somewhere like eBay, and then there are people that are selling the cards on eBay and places like that.
This is going back to you being a little kid where you have to trade with someone.
Yeah, that's what it comes to. It really does.
That's pretty great.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, we publish the print runs, so you can see just how many people bought the different cards. So we certainly had a surge and an uptick in the number of cards purchased with the excitement of the Cubs getting the first World Series since 1908. But you can look and see however many people own them, and if unfortunately you missed out on that time frame when they were available again, you can go and try and get them from somebody else that has them. But we will never print that card again, so it really is one of the ultimate collectibles, and it should stand the test of time. This is the first year we did it, and to have the Cubs win it in year one is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Good timing for us, I would say.
Jeff, which so far has been the fastest and the best-selling of the series?
Of the series, it was actually the clinching card. So the Cubs celebrating on the mound after the game, and that was closely followed by Rizzo and Bryant. Those were the two most popular.
Sure.
So the Cubs, you know, one of them did 6,000, the other one did 4,000. But just throughout the World Series, we did almost 100,000 cards throughout the case of the World Series. So, a lot of America watched and followed along, and then, you know, a lot of them also came to Topps in order to get their cards.
Yeah.
Here's what you're going to have to do, people. You're going to have to go to Topps.com on a daily basis to see what is up and offered, because it's usually only a 24-hour window on this.
Right. That's it. Jeff, you guys just signed a deal. I remember reading less than a week ago with Chris Bryant, a very lucrative deal, a long-term deal for Chris Bryant. What exactly is that entailing?
Yeah, so he's Topps is the exclusive trading card for Chris Bryant, and it's actually the biggest deal in the history of Topps, you know, dating back over 75 years. So really excited to be able to sign someone like Chris, great player, you know, great role model for the game. And
nice
then,
blue eyes with, for the cards, got to tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and then just with the way things worked out with, you know, him having a starring role in the World Series and the Cubs delivering that World Series championship, you know, really great for us and great for him as well, I think.
And do you do other things other than baseball on these 24-hour windows, correct?
We do. Yeah, there's a number of other sports we do. So we do UFC. There's, you know, the big fight with Conor McGregor this weekend in New York. We do soccer, all different international soccer, Premier League, MLS. We do WWE for some of the wrestling fans. And we even dipped our toe in entertainment and have followed some TV shows. So the night after an episode airs, we have the, you know, important scenes from that episode in TV.
What a great idea. You guys are totally branching out.
It's definitely been a lot different than we used to do trading cards. We still have our traditional trading cards, and there is a Cubs set that you can go and get in Walmart. The difference is it's not going to be available until end of November, just because it takes a little while for us to print the cards, package them, and ship them to all the different retailers across the country. So we've really just taken the model of what we've done in print on demand, allows us to put them up on the website almost instantaneously, and then after a customer orders them, they're printed, cut, put in packages, and shipped out in 3 to 5 business days.
Excellent.
That's pretty cool.
And the pricing, Jeff, if you wouldn't mind, the pricing on these special edition World Series cards is what?
So it's $49.99 for the set of 15,
yeah.
And then it's $149.99 for the 15 plus the autograph card.
Okay. And those, I'm guessing, will work good in a bicycle spoke. I like to put a baseball card in my bicycle spoke. Those will work good, right?
They still work for that. I'm not sure if they're used as much for that. I think people are storing and saving them a little bit more. But you can do with the cards whatever you choose.
All right.
You know, since you have a car now and you've retired your bicycle, maybe you should put them in those little plastic sleeves, like a whole page of it, and put it on your rear window.
I could do that. All right, that'll make my car
doesn't
go
make
better.
As good a noise. No. I'll give you that. No. And you have to buy your own gum now too, Jeff. Right.
That's true. Yeah, no more gum in the packs. So, you know, we stopped that, about 10 years ago. But
which is a shame because they made great bookmarks. They were so hard you could use them as a bookmark.
Yeah, everyone remembers it fondly. Nobody liked the way it tasted. Nobody liked the film it left on the cards. But people still have such fond memories of the gum.
Well, it always tasted like chalk, and I always thought some chalk company should have chalk that tastes like gum just to balance things out.
It does bring you back to your childhood, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the deal with Chris Bryant. He is Jeff Heckman, Director of New Product Development and E-Commerce Marketplace at Tops. And I'm telling you, people, just go to tops.com on a daily basis because you may see something you like and it may be gone in 24 hours. However, you are able to get the 2016 Major League Baseball season, the World Series set until when? Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday at 1 a.m. Eastern, so you have a little bit more time to get that.
I'm looking at it online right now. These cards are stunning. The colors are so vibrant. I mean, baseball cards were always very colorful, but these are just unparalleled. They're stunning.
Yeah, the imagery is awesome. So, I mean, it is the actual images from the game. So to be able to get some of the access in the images that we have really make the program even that much more special.
Excellent.
Are you
doing
election cards?
We are. We actually are. We're doing two different kinds of election cards. So we're doing, you know, we'll do the winner and the loser. If it's announced tonight, we will do that and have that on tops.com tomorrow under our election 2016 page. And then we're also doing some parody cards through our Garbage Pail Kids, which is a lot of fun just with the whole election. We've been doing that ever since the Iowa caucuses. So we have Trump, Hillary, all the other political players. So both of those have been a lot of fun. So you can go right now and see some of the different Garbage Pail cards that are available today. And then, yeah, after the election results tonight, make sure you go tomorrow because we'll have new Garbage Pail Kids cards up as well as the actual winner and loser cards for tomorrow.
You know, being in radio is pretty great, but you got an awesome job too, Jeff. You really
do. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun with all the pop culture, sports, current events. Tops is a pretty fun place to work.
I bet. We can only imagine. Jeff, great talking to you again, and good luck with this. These are great keepsakes for a long, long time.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Jeff
Heckman from Topps, the company that really made baseball cards as great as they've been for a long, long time. A quick break and then more show. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Maybe someday we can take a walk downtown. The sun will shine there and all the people will be out. Yeah, I can see them singing songs and waving signs. Millions of people wondering, is this paradise? They'll sing, the skies once were gray, but the bright blue today. Now that our someday is finally here.
She's so good.
Isn't she? That's Katie Day, a guest on our show this year and last year, as the Cubs last year tried to make it to the World Series. This year, won the World Series.
I got to keep saying I'm a Sox fan because really I'm not jumping ship here.
That's all right.
That sky, I have never seen bluer than on the day of the rally and parade. Honestly.
It's incredible the way the weather helped us here and was pleasant for the rally and the parade. And rain just when it needed to rain, when the Cubs needed a quick timeout.
How about that?
I've never seen weather cooperate both positively and negatively the way it had for the Cubs, but it did. So good.
If you were listening to the first half of our show, we played Chris Bryant, who was on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were three other Cubs that were on Jimmy Fallon, and it was Anthony Rizzo, Dexter Fowler, and Ben Zobrist. And Jimmy Fallon brought up Steve Bartman, and here, take a little listen.
I just love what you guys are doing. I heard this rumor that Steve Bartman, is that his name? I don't hate to bring up his name if you don't like him, but he was the fan that jumped out and interrupted the play, and kind of everyone said, "Oh, he cursed the Cubs." There's a rumor that he's been invited to throw out the first pitch next season. And what, do you hear that?
We haven't heard that yet, but that'd be amazing. He's a big part of the Cubs history, no
he
matter
totally
what.
He totally should. He definitely and, should.
It would only be right though if Moises Alou were to catch the ball.
That's extra foul. That's really funny.
To the 2016 World Series.
But how about that being like cool that, you know, Anthony Rizzo's like, oh, that'd be great. It, you know, he's a part of Cubs history. And Zobrist is like, yeah, have him do it. And then Fowler does the little tip in there.
That was very funny. On Jimmy Kimmel.
I know, it's confusing.
He was talking about, too many Jimmys. He was talking about how when the ball was hit, they showed it in slow motion as Bryant comes in and has a huge smile on his face and fields the ground ball and throws it to first. And he was talking to him about that smile. He said, you had that big smile already planted on your face. What if you had thrown it into the dugout? You would have been the new Steve Bartman. So Steve Bartman getting heavy airplay on both Jimmy Fallon show and Jimmy Kimmel show last night.
Yeah, but Jimmy Kimmel being mean about it. If you missed it, would have been the next Steve Bartman.
He was
Jimmy
being
Fallon
mean.
Was saying there's a rumor, and there is no rumor because you
no,
saw.
No, there is a rumor. That has been a rumor. That really has been. I've heard that too. But his description of Bartman was inaccurate. He goes, he's the fan who jumped out
right.
and got in the way. He didn't. He just stood up like everybody else in the area stood up.
And I love how Jimmy Fallon is like, but Steve Bartman, is that his name? He knew it was his name.
Yeah,
nice acting, Jimmy.
No, he did. I know.
But, you know, his attorney has, people were asking if he was going to be at the celebration, at the rally or the parade, and his lawyer, through his lawyer, it says no. You know, he doesn't want to cloud what's the good news with himself being there. He doesn't want to ruin that for anyone. But the whole him throwing out the first pitch is just wacky DJ saying it. I know we were talking about that, too. I doubt very much he's going to do that. He's been so out of the limelight.
He's been out of the limelight. But I think if anything happened last week, and a lot did happen last week in terms of the Cubs finally breaking all this, it's that anyone who still held a grudge about him, I think at this point you let it go, don't you? I mean, it's 13 years already.
It should have been let go the next year.
It should have been let go immediately.
Maybe they should have Bill Buckner come and throw out the first
pitch.
He
would do it. He'd be doing it. Well, I told you, in Boston, they brought him out and the place went wild. And that was a city where he was public enemy number one for a while.
But
for
it
the
took
ball
them winning
through.
The World Series for people to forgive.
It
huh?
did. It did.
God, fans are jerks. They can really be jerks.
Well, yeah, they're very emotional about the game, you know. But yeah, you would hope at this point, if anyone, I can't imagine anyone still hating him for just doing what came naturally, which is a foul ball's coming your way, you stand up to try to catch it.
But as we've talked about before, it's been a long 13 years for him to be sitting out.
He's the most famous fan in the history of sports. Can anyone else name another fan that watched a game? It's impossible.
Poor guy.
He should get a top special edition card.
Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Wouldn't that sell?
Overdue. Yeah.
All right, we have to take a break. Then it's news time, and you know
it was so long ago. He was wearing over the head headphones.
Right.
He looks just like Richard Roper.
There's a lot of people who think it may be Richard Roper.
It was Richard Roper in disguise because he didn't want anybody to notice him sitting by himself at a Cubs game.
Yep.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. Quick break, news time, and then we will have no results for you. Because
we're your no results station.
No, I saw Rick Kogan out front. He goes, what are you doing? What are you talking about the election today? I go, what is there to talk about?
Yeah,
there is nothing
point,
to talk about right now.
Facts will roll in, you know, throughout the night with Hampton and OB doing your post-election coverage.
We have a big
Kaz.
Show tonight.
And Kaz, he'll be out there.
Steve Edwards is a radio hero of mine.
What? And no, he'll be with, on
with
Justin
Kaufman.
He's with
Justin
Kaufman, and
right.
lots of people in the newsroom, and we've got you covered here.
Yeah. All right, so stay here. News is next, and then more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, can we take this on the air?
Yes, we definitely can take this on the air. Alan Ruck is joining us a half an hour earlier for those of you who are sticklers to the schedule. You know Alan from everything from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. A little bit nervous. He's actually here.
I'm nervous.
Spin City. You shouldn't be nervous.
Bill never
nervous.
Gets nervous, Alan. You should feel very complimented right now.
And now he's on the hit show The Exorcist on Fox. Great to finally meet you.
I'm so happy to be here. This is, you guys listening out there, this is the coolest clubhouse these guys have. You can see all of Michigan Avenue. This is a good, this is a good gig, right?
It's pretty great. Okay. I'm very proud of my I voted sticker. And when I met you in the green room, Alan, you pointed out your I voted sticker on your wallet.
I put it on my wallet because I'm an Angeleno, right? I'm a Californian, and I had to vote by mail.
Oh.
So when I sent it in, then I put it on my wallet to keep, because I knew if I put on a sweater, it would be gone.
Right.
You know, in an instant.
Someone would steal it. It's a tough city.
Yeah, we said we were not going to cover election coverage because really there's nothing to report. But at there is one place where Hillary Clinton has won the vote on the U.S. island of Guam.
Oh.
The U.S. citizens in Guam casting ballots totaled 32,071 votes. Clinton got 71.63% of the vote. Trump got 24.16%.
That's a healthy margin.
That is a very healthy margin in Guam, where they don't have any electoral college votes. So I always wonder what they do with that, because they're not in the electoral college.
Oh, well, maybe if it's one of those things that gets down to the wire and
as a tiebreaker.
Yeah, as a tiebreaker.
Maybe.
Because I think that's what's going to happen with my mail-in vote. I don't think they're going to count that today. I think
just it was
postmarked yesterday. I mean, they'll be looking at that in a week.
So that's right. You've been in Chicago filming The Exorcist or taping it. I don't know what
filming.
Filming. I don't know I don't know what the proper term is. So you did have to do an absentee or a mail-in vote?
Yeah, I didn't know. And as it turned out, I was here today. So I just wanted to make sure I got to vote, and I took care of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, some people I think would blow that off because it's a little more work.
It's not really that hard. It really isn't that hard. And then you get bombarded with, of course, information from every point of view about vote yes on this proposition, vote no on this proposition. So There's no shortage.
Take the effort.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
Let's talk about The Exorcist a little bit. It really is one of the best shows of the new season.
I'm so
very
happy.
Eerie. You're just telling Wendy and myself you have not seen it yet.
No, I watched the pilot just to kind of get up to speed when we started filming the rest of the season back in July, I think. And but I'm going to wait and I'm going to binge it when I go home. I think I can get it on Hulu or something. Yeah. So I'll do that.
You're gonna
love it. My wife is not a fan of the horror films or devil films or ghost films.
And yeah,
yeah. When I auditioned for this show, she had a problem. You know, she said, "You can't bring that energy into this house." You know, and I said, "Well, you know," and I went in, and then my manager said, "Well, they want you to do it," and I said, "I got to talk to my wife. I don't know." And he said, "Well, you might want to tell her that Gina Davis just signed on." And I said, "Gina's doing it." And she said, "Well, you got to do it now."
Yeah.
Right.
Gina Davis saved it for
That's
you.
That's right.
That's awesome.
On the show, you play the father of a family in turmoil. I don't want to give away too much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at this point, for people who haven't seen it, there would be spoilers. But it's already out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of it is already out there.
Yeah.
I play this guy named Henry Rance. I'm married to Gina Davis, mm-hmm. who plays Angela. And we have these two beautiful daughters, about 19 and 21. And our house is visited by the forces of evil.
Yep.
And that...
Did you leave out the welcome mat? How come they chose your house?
Well, you know, you found out at the end of episode 5 why.
Yes.
I have DVR'd it.
I don't want to give anything away, but a surprise twist that I did not see coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's like knock you back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
And we didn't know this when we were starting, you know, and then we found out a few episodes in.
Yeah.
And
a jolter.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So on the show, Alan, your character has had an accident recently. We don't know all the details, but something horrible has happened now.
All these things have happened to our family because our family's been targeted by this
evil
demon, you know. Yeah. And a piece of scaffolding fell off and chunked me on the head. Not enough to kill me, but Henry's got some trouble remembering things. He falls asleep a lot.
Yeah.
People with TBI, it's amazing the different things that can happen to these poor people. Narcolepsy, a thing called cataplexy, which I didn't know, which is actually you are fully conscious, but your body won't move.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, if you take a good knock on the noggin, all these different things can happen to you. And the good news is for better or worse, Henry does start to recover.
Yeah.
You know.
Does he come out speaking a foreign language? Because that happens sometimes, too, when you have head injuries.
No, but apparently Henry had some connection to the spirit world, to another sort of plane of existence at different points. He's relaying information that he has no possible way of knowing.
Yeah.
Boy, TV has come a long way, hasn't it?
It's pretty great. It's wonderful. When I started, you know, 35 years ago, it was like you wanted to do movies, plays and movies, because if you did TV, then that was it. And it was just because, for the most part, television was not that interesting.
Right.
And then the way film has changed, and now all the big budget movies are kind of fanboy movies and little movies, smart movies, you know, they have an audience, but they don't get made as much because they're going for the big, you know, the big box office, best return on the dollar. So all these sort of smart stories have gravitated to TV.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have all this great cable and, you know, pay cable and free cable, all these different venues, you can tell a lot of different stories, and it's an exciting place to work.
You've been able to manage beautifully, though, integrating theater and television and movies. You're always on one or more platforms.
It was usually if I couldn't get a job somewhere, I tried looking somewhere else.
Yeah. It's smart. It's very smart.
Yeah.
Alan Ruck is here. He's on The Exorcist now, but you know him from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Spin City and a bunch of other great projects. We'll talk more to Alan next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Alan Ruck is here. You know him from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know him from Spin City. Right now, he's playing Henry Rance on Fox's The Exorcist. It airs Friday night, 8 o'clock Central, but DVR it and watch it later on at night. It's even scarier dark when it's darker outside. let's say a kid grows up. He's born and he grows up in Cleveland, Ohio, but he does most of his work in Chicago. Who would that kid root for in the World Series?
All right, I had a real problem. I had a real problem because I was working here in town and I got a chance to take my 89-year-old dad to the second game in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right? And I grew up in Cleveland. I left when I was 18. I never really went back. I moved here right out of college. I was just 23 years old. I moved here, North Side. I fell in love with the Cubs because that's what you do.
Yep.
So when I went home, I got, Dad, what are you doing? You know, I think it was Tuesday night. I said, what are you doing? Tuesday or Wednesday? I can't remember now. Just 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. And they said, I don't know. What am I doing? I said, we're going to the series. So he went out and he bought some Indians hats that said World Series 2016. And he handed me one when I walked in his house. And I said, I can't wear it. Oh. I can't wear it. And he was really good about it. He's like, okay. You know, so in a way it would have been a win-win for me, but I'm so happy that the Cubs made it happen. And you know, that was a magnificent series.
Yeah.
It was great.
And Cleveland was on fire.
Yeah.
I mean, there were two fabulous teams and the Cubs were a little bit better.
Yeah.
And man, that last game, what the drama. Come on. I mean.
And at one point, Kipnis, who's from Northbrook, who's on the Indians,
right.
I thought he was going to take it away from the Cubs. At one point, I thought this is going to happen.
You got to go where the work is. And if the work's in Cleveland, that's who you play for.
Right.
You know?
All right. Now, here's another sports question, but it also ties in your movie career. And it's a mystery, Alan, that I've had my whole life since I first saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I think it was just answered. Your character Cameron wears a Gordie Howe jersey in the movie, and people have always said, why would a kid who grew up, your character, on the north side of Chicago, he wouldn't wear a Gordie Howe jersey? That's a Detroit Red Wings jersey, but it's kind of been explained. You explained it finally, didn't you?
Well, kind of. In the first place, Cameron was a little odd.
Yeah.
And then what the real story is it's all John Hughes. And John Hughes, I think he was born in Detroit and grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he moved here at an early age. And so his backstory that was never explained, but his backstory for Cameron was the relationship with Cameron and his father was non-existent, but he had a really good relationship with his grandfather who lived in Detroit, and his grandpa always used to take him to Red Wings games.
Yeah.
So that's why. And we never apologized, never explained.
Love that, though.
But that was John's, because I think that was John.
I mean,
I think that was maybe something from his life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that really made the characters more complete because it was always so mysterious. He wouldn't wear that jersey, but then once he died, I read a story about you explaining what you just explained, and I went, of course, now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
And weren't they going to change the water tower in Northbrook because of that movie?
Maybe.
Wasn't that a big
thing? To what?
Yeah. I don't know. Am I mixing up movies here?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hang on, I got to look it up.
I'm not sure.
All right.
But that experience being in that movie, that's one of those
Save
things
Ferris,
that an actor,
they were going to put on there.
Oh, maybe.
Were they
yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
That was it went up for a vote.
That's the kind of thing an actor dreams about, is making an iconic film like that. It's the recognition for you, right?
It's great. I had no idea. We had no idea. I had been an actor here in Chicago, and I moved to New York because I got a Broadway show that happened to be Biloxi Blues, starring Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And then while that was happening, I got an audition for this Broderick movie, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And we didn't have to make up a friendship because we're already friends. And I had met John earlier, a few years earlier. He was originally going to make The Breakfast Club as a little indie in Chicago. Excuse me. And I met him right down the street here somewhere. And he brought me in for the Judd Nelson part, right? And so nothing happened there because he met Molly Ringwald during that process. And the legend is that he went home, he wrote 16 Candles over a weekend, and then called up and said, I want you to do this movie. And he put Breakfast Club on the back burner.
Really?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And so I had known John a little bit
from
that experience. And then I was really old. You know, I was like 29 years old. And the casting directors were like, he's too old. And my agent at the time said, well, he plays opposite Broderick every night on stage. And they look like they're the same age. So I went and I read for them. And they said, yeah, you're right. He looks young. And then I went in and I auditioned for John, whom I'd already met, with Matthew, who was my friend.
Oh.
So it was, it like fell from
Perfect.
The sky and
Perfect.
Landed in my lap. Yeah.
That was such, oh, go on.
I was going to say, why don't you tell your Molly Ringwald story?
Oh, it's a long story, but when she was, she was in town. Wendy, this is Wendy's favorite story
because
it shows
you just messed
me
up.
Failing at my best. I was managing a video store and one of my customers was a paramedic. Anytime they would do a movie, they would hire this guy to be a paramedic. And he came in and he's telling me about this movie he's working on, and it's 16 Candles. And he goes, the girl in this movie isn't famous yet, but she's going to be famous. And I said, what's her name? And he said, Molly Ringwald. And I said, I just saw her in a movie. She had been in a movie called The Tempest with John Cassavetes.
Yeah.
And I said, she's fantastic, really pretty too. So then he comes back a few days later and he hands me a phone number. And I go, what's this? And he said, I was talking to Molly during one of the breaks. She doesn't know anybody in town. If you want to go out with her, and he hands me the phone number.
And what'd you do with that number, Bill?
I stuttered a lot and just
never used it.
I never called her. And
you could have been Mr. Ringwald.
I could have been Billy Ringwald.
Was that your name on the street now?
Billy Ringwald.
That like
that's
your secret name?
Me.
Yeah. Right?
Look, that's the guy that turned down Molly Ringwald. Nice move. Yeah, I get that a lot.
Actually, that's very charming because it just shows your humanity and that you know.
Yeah.
You're not an animal. You're a human being.
That's it. Thank you, Alan. Yeah. Alan's backing me up.
People are texting 312. My son is named Cameron because of you.
Is he a good kid?
And somebody loved you in the Star Trek Generations movie.
Yeah, I did one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've done
so much, really.
I've been around a long time.
Spin City for a minute. That's one of the most underrated, I think, sitcoms of all time, Spin City.
We were really good. The first, I think, maybe three seasons, I think we were as good as any other sitcom that was on at that time, you know.
Yeah.
And Michael Fox was sort of at his peak and of his star, you know, charisma and his ability. That guy never had to take a lesson on how to tell a joke. He came out of the womb, you know, with timing.
Yeah.
And I made friends for life on that movie show. They're all it's all the same thing anymore. But great friends with Barry Bostwick. I'm great friends with Michael Boatman, with Richard Kind, and
yeah.
And that's because Fox picked his own playmates. We all had to audition for Michael as sort of the final audition. And so he picked all the people that had the same twisted sense of humor.
Oh, good.
As he did. And it paid off.
Great ensemble.
Such a good show. Such a good show.
Yeah.
And you still look young. You still look so young.
I'm not. But thanks. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
But you can tell on the show, even though it's a very serious show, there's a lot going into that show. It's a well-crafted show, and you must be loving it. It's a great show to be a part of, right, The Exorcist?
I'm having a wonderful time. It's beautifully written. The things they can do with the camera now, with all these digital cameras. The director of photography, Alex Dizanoff, is 30 years old, and he's a genius because he's 30.
Yeah.
And he's making – it doesn't look like a television show.
No.
It looks like any beautiful movie you'd see in the theater, you know.
There was a special effect with maggots on last Friday's episode.
My favorite special effect,
if you're a maggot fan, Wendy,
who
you
isn't?
Will love this maggot scene. One of the best maggot scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah. Maggots. We got them.
It's what's for dinner.
Get him right here.
And you've been married to a president, kind of, because Gina Davis played a president on her last TV series.
This is true.
So if anyone knows what Bill Clinton's going through, it's you right now.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a pleasure to meet you. You have been in Chicago for a while. You're going to be hanging out here for a little while longer, too, huh?
Just the rest of this week. We're
that's it?
Yeah, we're wrapping it up. Yeah.
Do we know yet about a season two, or has that not been divulged yet?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Okay.
They don't tell me. It's
good luck.
Pay grade.
We're hopeful. We're very hopeful.
Thanks.
That's Alan Ruck. Watch The Exorcist. It's on Friday nights at 8 o'clock Central on Fox. You'll love it. It's a great show. We'll take a quick break, and then more Bill and Wendy WGN.
Great job, Steve. Boy, it's fun to see everybody
Steve
coming
did a nice
down to
job.
See Cameron and get their pictures taken.
The people from upstairs, big fans of the Ferris Bueller movie, and he was very accommodating.
All right, so he did say, Alan Ruck did say that he's from Los Angeles. He was here in Chicago filming.
From Cleveland originally, but now living in Los Angeles, yeah.
Okay, but yeah. I mean, he lives there, so that's where he would have voted.
In California, yeah.
And he did it by mail. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who lives here, but she's in California writing for Tim Allen's show, Last Man Standing. She did it by mail. But can I tell you what this woman went through? 847 has texted us.
All right.
Because if you have a chance to vote, because listen to this story. The efforts we go through for a vote. My daughter is currently hospitalized, and I am traveling between Woodstock and Hoffman Estates. We live in Algonquin, so I started there, went to Woodstock to pick up an absentee application, to Hoffman Estates to get it filled out and signed by the doctor, then back to Woodstock to pick up a ballot, back to Hoffman Estates so she can fill out the ballot, and then off to Woodstock to drop off her ballot.
That's 350 miles so
far. I know. Hospitalization happened this weekend, so there was no time to prepare. So exercise your right to vote. We wish your daughter the best. But look at all that you have to do to get a vote in.
That seems a lot more complicated than it needed to be. Why was it so complicated?
Because you have to get a doctor's note.
Yeah.
You have to go to where you live. It just seems like there.
Yeah.
A last-minute hospitalization, there should be some way to do it.
Yeah.
I feel terrible that this woman had to go through this.
That is a lot of effort. It is.
So if you get there and there's a two-hour-plus line.
Yeah.
Which I don't think can happen, Bill, because the polls are open till 7. You're going to get there before work hours let out, typically.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know.
And you tried to go yesterday, and it's funny, the lines have been longer at early voting than they have on election day. We have gotten texts all day long, 5, 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm really confused by that. I think everybody had the exact same idea. If I go a day or two early, I'll alleviate the lines. But no, a little over 2 hour wait yesterday for me. But I didn't. Like I said, I looked at the line and I watched the line for 5 minutes and they moved up one space
from your car?
In 5 minutes.
Did
no,
people
I
think
got
you
out.
Were stalking?
No, I got out and I mean, the building was jam-packed, so I knew there was going to be a line. But then once it was downstairs at the Evanston Town Hall and the line was just all over the bottom floor, just snaking in and out of corners and around the halls and stuff. And I don't know. I just said, I'll go tomorrow. It's going to be better tomorrow, I hope.
Well, again, I don't think people are leaving work early. You will be there before most 9-to-5ers get out.
But it'll be the same time as yesterday. Like, I got there around 4 o'clock yesterday. I would have thought that would have been a prime time because the people who were working, I thought, well, they'll be working. This, I'll just move in and out really quickly. Didn't happen.
Missing Paul Green today.
Yeah. I thought about that yesterday, actually. Paul always gave great insight into the world of politics and really not fair, of course, that he's not here for this election because this is one for
this
the ages.
This is a big one. Yeah. Big one. WGN Radio will bring you complete election coverage. Listen to Your Voice, Your Vote, beginning tonight at 7, co-hosted by Justin Kaufman and Steve Edwards. The entire WGN Radio news team, except for Steve Bertrand. He said he's not going to come
out?
Here.
Oh.
And then Andrea Darlis will be
in
at
New York.
Clinton headquarters. Julie Unruh will be live from Trump headquarters, both reporting live from New York City. We will keep you covered tonight,
yeah.
Starting at 7.
That'll be great. I was also thinking, along the same lines as Paul Green, Janet Reno holds a place in history, and she also did not get to see, sadly, the result of today's election. So she just missed it by a day.
Maybe it was intentional.
Do you think it was intentional?
I don't know. Voted in Barrington at 1:30 today. Was in and out in 10 minutes. Remember, as long as you are in line before the polls close, you will be allowed to vote.
Right.
There is already a lawsuit that Donald Trump has filed in Nevada saying that the registrar kept the early voting office 2 hours longer than it was supposed to. There's something to be said for early voting because when it closes there, you always do have the next day, today, to vote.
All right.
So I don't know how that goes. As Steve Bertrand pointed out, it's a state-by-state basis. So.
Yeah.
And then there was somebody else who said, they were in and out, just took 20 minutes, no excuse not to vote.
I'll take 20 minutes any day, but they were looking at, in upwards of 2 hours and 10 or 15 minutes yesterday. That's a long time. I mean, I know, I understand the importance of it, but I, because I had the extra day to play with, I went, I'll just go in tomorrow. It can't be this bad tomorrow.
Well, you would think not, and there it's been uncharted territory, and there's more people voting early than I wonder today, it seems. Bill, where did you vote, and how long did you have to wait? Hello, Bill?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I think I'm talking to you. Are you talking to me?
Yeah. I live in the South Suburbs, and I have a senior center across from me, and as of this morning at 6 o'clock, there was 30 to 40 cars in the parking lot. My buddy down the street called me at 7 and says, you see how many cars? It hasn't stopped. There's 30 to 40 cars in that parking lot all the time. I mean, I'm 74. This is the most I've ever seen people vote there in my life.
Good.
It is good.
There was like 4 or 5 people, you know, I mean, an hour. And where I went, I have to go vote somewhere else. The guy said they were up to almost 60% of the 900 registered voters. They were almost up to 60% of the 900 registered voters already.
That's great.
At noontime. Well, I'm dumbfounded. I really am. I can't believe.
You know, well, people are getting out there and voting. So did you vote yet, Bill, or you haven't waited in line yet?
No. I did the paper ballot because it took too long to wait for their machine. So I took a paper ballot, and I did the paper ballot.
Good for
you. It was quick. But, I mean, it's an endless line. It really is. I bet you they're going to set records today on people voting.
Hey, that's what we want.
Oh, yes. I agree. I've been voting all my life. I've never missed one in my life. So.
Well, thank you for voting.
Bill.
You take care.
Okay,
you too, Bill.
All right, so the beauty of this is there was so much speculation because you have two candidates that are slightly unlikable in many respects. So a lot of people were thinking with these two candidates, there's going to be a lot of apathy. People going, I don't like him, I don't like her, I'm not voting. But so far, it doesn't seem to be that way.
Walked right in and voted at 1:30 in Frankfurt. Here's another one. Bill just voted in Evanston at lunch. Walked right in, walked right out.
Oh, good.
Voted in Edison Park around noon, and signing in, voting took less than 15 minutes. And think of how many people went at noon on their lunch break.
Right.
Just left Elburn, no line, many machines open, no waiting. Lake County, Antioch, 5-minute wait. This election is like the World Series, only happens once in 108 years. Your mentioning of Paul Green and his not being with us anymore really hits home on a day like today when we needed his humor, his insight, but most of all, his frankness and his honesty in an election where that doesn't exist at all. We miss him even more. Thanks for remembering him.
Yeah, it's much like with the Cubs story where you go, oh, I wish Ernie Banks had seen this and Ron Santo and Harry Caray and Jack Brickhouse. He's one of the voices of politics that I think, as tumultuous as this campaign has been, you're living for this day to see how this plays out. And sadly, he didn't get to see it come to full fruition. And that's sad.
It is sad. And I don't know if this is a joke or for reals, but 815 says, I heard that Janet Reno voted early.
No.
I don't know if that's a joke.
I don't know if it is either.
Or
it's entirely possible.
If she really did. And then somebody, 708, says, only took me 7 minutes for me and my 5 deceased friends to vote. Here right. It comes.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, you know where we live. We're a little leery of the process sometimes here.
Well, if you go with the paper thing, you could get right in. Again, I wanted to use the touch screen because I like to pretend it's a video game.
Right. You voted for Q-Bert, didn't you?
How did you know?
I just know you. All right, we'll take a quick break and then a bit more show, and then your calls at 312-981-7200. You know how to reach us. This is Bill and Wendy. It's WGN. Wendy, I'm reading on CNN that marijuana is on the ballot in nine states. How did that get on the ballot?
Somebody dropped
Who dropped their marijuana on the ballot in nine states?
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. This is Election Night 2016. What will happen? We have no results other than Hillary Clinton won 70-something percent of the vote in Guam.
Mm-hmm.
So, hi, Marge.
Hi. I just wanted to let Bill know that when you early vote, and he's going to Evanston, that everybody in Evanston goes to that one place.
Okay.
Whereas today, he just goes to his own precinct.
Right.
So there's fewer people.
Oh, that makes
and
sense.
And it should be less wait time.
Oh, I guess that does make sense. I didn't even think about that. Well, thank you, Marge. You've solved another mystery.
Great.
Excellent. Thank
Marge
you very much.
Marge just wants to make sure you vote.
I'm going.
That's
I'm
right.
definitely going.
That's right.
I am.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marge. That does make sense, because when I was going to do the early voting, I had to go to Brookfield Village Hall.
Yeah.
And if you go on Election Day, there are various precincts all over the place.
Yeah, mine is literally a block
right.
from my house. It's one block away.
So yeah. There's only a certain amount of people that would go to your precinct, so
oh,
you should
so.
Be in good shape.
All right.
Hi, Frank.
Oh, hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
Thanks for putting up with all of us for so long.
No, please.
It's actually the other way around, Frank. Thanks for putting up with us.
I would question the humanity of a person who goes and sues the state of Nevada for letting people vote. The people who were waiting in line, who are legal voters, they're Americans, and he sues the state for letting them vote? I mean, what kind of person would do that? What's he afraid of, first of all?
Well, as we talked about earlier, it's typically a Democratic area. So maybe he wanted the 2 hours worth of voters to not be casting a vote for Hillary.
Well, I know that. And I think everybody knows that. And I think that's voter suppression right there. Just trying to, you know, illegally trying to prevent people from voting.
It seems like it.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
he spent the whole past 6 months saying the system is rigged. And you know what? I'm starting to believe that there needs to be a system out there, whether it be the world's fastest supercomputer that can beat anybody at chess or whatever it is, that needs to be like an overlord over people who make stupid mistakes like letting this guy run in the first place. And, you know, to where if it ever got to the point where he would, God forbid, win, that the computer would step in and slap everybody in the side of the head and say, you dummy, we can't let him win, and I'm not going to let him win. So that's just my comment. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you for talking. We appreciate it, Frank. You know how I mentioned someone said Janet Reno has passed away, you told me earlier today.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I heard she voted early. So think about it. If she did vote early, and what about people that did vote early and then passed away before today? Does their vote count?
Yes. Dead people's votes in that case would count.
It would?
Yeah. They couldn't retract it just they couldn't retract it just because she's died in the interim. She was alive when she cast the vote.
So you don't have to be alive to vote.
Right.
Well, you do at the time of voting.
Who will win the dead voter vote, though? Will it be more Trump supporters or Hillary Clinton supporters?
I don't know. Hey, Manny, you voted already?
Yeah. And it was pretty quick. I went in there. I think I waited maybe about 5 minutes. And then once I got in there, it was pretty quick.
No surprises at all? It was as expected? Everything went according to plan?
You know what? The only thing that was a little bit strange is that the polling place that I usually go to, you know, it has like flags, American flag, and a sign that says polling place.
Yes.
Well, this time it didn't have any. And that was a little strange.
Were you at a corner bakery? Did they have ham and Swiss sandwiches?
Bill, you are one funny dude.
I'm just trying to figure out why it would have been different.
Manny, did you go touch screen?
No, I did the with the little marker and the little arrow.
Yeah, you got to connect it and make the line a full line.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, and that was you know, I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The touch screen, I'm kind of scared because, you know, people can hack into it. I hope not. I hope not, but I'm just scared of computers, mm-hmm. you know, in that sense.
Well, it does have an actual printout of paper, too, because you have to search over it and make sure everything you voted for was what you wanted. You can go back and make corrections, and then at the very end, you can't pull your little card out until you see it says vote is accepted.
Oh.
So it's okay. on paper and...
computerized.
Yes.
Wow, that I didn't know. I've never, believe it or not, I've never voted... or at least in my precinct, they've never had that option. So
it's just a computer in a suitcase is really all it is. Did you get a sticker or a wristband?
No, I got the wristband and a little piece of paper. So that was cool.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
All right. I'm proud of my sticker.
Can I make one more comment?
Sure, Manny.
Real quick. I love the Exorcist series. It's great.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm disappointed is in the music, the opening music. It sounds kind of like Mrs. Marple. Or like
what's that?
That's a detective show.
Oh.
Miss Marple.
And I don't know. It's just not scary enough, to me anyway, because I've been a Exorcist fan all my life.
In the pilot episode, they used the song Tubular Bells, which is the Exorcist theme. They only used it once for a little bit, and they said that it was too expensive to get the rights on a weekly basis, so they had to come up with a new theme.
That makes sense.
It's nowhere near as eerie as that Tubular Bells song. That's
Michael Oldfield.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. But yeah, I understand. It might not fit the rest of the show very well.
Thank you, Manny.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
If you're visually impaired, there's an audio ballot. How great is
that? Oh, I didn't know that was an option. Good.
All right. Well, get out there and vote, please. That's all we got to tell you.
Yep. All right. A quick break. Rowan Anna will be in, and we'll find out what they have coming up.
Oh, he is going to be a basket case today.
Do you think today's the day he'll be a basket case? Let's find out if today's the day that Rose a basket case. We'll find that out next. Bill Mundy, WGN.